Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No!
I was excited to hear this morning that the clock is going to be set backwards an hour on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and thought,
oh, that's helpful.
Yes, that is awesome, I thought. And then I think the same thing I think every time. You really shouldn't make such a big deal out of this, I think to myself. The extra hour, no big deal. When I lose the hour 6 months back, I'm usually devastated.
Right.
The weekend is destroyed.
Right.
It's the worst possible news I could possibly hear. It happens twice a year, every year. I think I'd have just kind of learned to accept it and move forward.
What if you did something extra special with that hour? So it didn't just pass by unnoticed.
Well, I look at it as I owe the hour from the 6 months before when I lost it. But that's an interesting point and an interesting thing to do. Think about that free hour, as it were, and what you might do for that free hour. Now, that free hour may start at 2:15 a.m., but
you still get it.
An hour the next day.
And twice a year, correct?
Well, you lose one and then you get one.
Well, that's a wash.
It is a wash, but let's just say you think of something to do with that hour.
I did, and you just took it away. It's
I
a
know.
Wash now. I had a thing.
But for right now, you celebrate this free hour.
You do celebrate this free hour, yes. What shall you do? I mean, shall you volunteer somewhere?
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Should you do something? I'll tell you what I'm a... I'll tell you what I'm almost obsessed with, and I don't know why I'm almost obsessed with it, and I think it has to do with sort of living and coming from sort of chaos. Well, not really chaos, but my family, I'll give you a little insight to how my family works.
Hell yeah.
I took a piece of fruit roll-up. I know I've told this story before, but it's been some months and was probably at 9:30. So I'll share it with you now. When I was about 11, I took a little piece of fruit roll-up, probably about the size of a silver dollar or quarter. And for some reason...
How would you know what a silver dollar looks like?
That's a decent point. Yes, I think I called it a slug size back then.
This is what I keep you honest.
I was playing around with this with my cousin Greg. Greg, the son of my aunt and uncle, Vince and Pat, who are really my cousins. I just always thought they were my aunt and uncle. Speaking of cheap, these are the ones who would send me a birthday card every year with a nickel in every slot for every year you were on this planet. So if you turned 9... you got 45 cents, or wait a minute, is that right? Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. At some point, I think they stepped up to dimes, so
Well,
I'm still living off that money today. Still living off my 14th birthday. Yeah, it's awesome. But I was playing around with that kid, and I was at my mom's house, and I threw a piece of fruit roll-up, and that piece of fruit roll-up stuck to the ceiling of my stepdad's room, which was also the den, which was also his bedroom, which is, it served as many, it's the room the TV was in. It's also the room he slept in. So it was weird. You'd have to go into his room and sit on his bed, which wasn't a bed. It was one of those crappy sofa things from the 60s. It's sort of like the one the Brady Bunch used to have in their family room that like slid out and had a weird pillow on it. I never thought about
that.
Yes, I never thought about how weird it was that his bed was what we all sat on to watch TV in the evenings, but that was probably the least of the weird effed upness going on over there.
Just, you know, we had one. You have a really good memory. We had one, and there was a big square coffee table.
Yeah, he didn't have that, but they slid.
And they slid in. So one looked like a chair, and one looked like a bed.
Is that a trundle bed or a day bed or something?
Maybe it's a trundle. Although I think a trundle pulls out from underneath another bed. This was some
Murphy bed pulls out from the wall.
Yeah, this is something that somebody invented in 1970. It was hot as Hades for like 4 years, and then it completely went away. Now, we never had any of that kind of stuff because it wasn't invented in the 40s, and people hadn't started throwing it away yet. See, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy math. Whatever we had was 25 to 30 years old and effed up.
What happened to this fruit roll-up?
It stuck to the ceiling.
For the rest of its life, is it a fossil there now?
If I go to my mom's house and I go into my stepfather's room and I look at the ceiling, I can see the piece of fruit roll-up.
Right now, so, today.
Absolutely.
How would I know that?
I saw it.
Or it?
It.
Wow.
And I saw it 2 years ago. And it had been 30 years.
Wow.
30 plus years.
I don't know what that says.
Stuck. Well, I could say it, but it would not be good. Now, the point is I come from a place where people didn't do anything. If something was broken, it didn't get fixed. I've told you famously, I went to my sister's house a couple of years ago for Thanksgiving and had a minor episode after a couple of glasses of wine or champagne that I brought. I once saw the piano that Grandma had.
Right.
And saw the piano that Grandma gave to my sister.
I might have bought your grandma's piano in bed recently. I've been doing a lot of garage sale shopping.
And she has it at her house now. It had been in the family for, 50 years. And I famously remember that there was roofing tar that was all over the side of it. Well, and it was a story. What happened is at some point they retarred the room that the piano was in.
Right.
And it dripped. And it dripped through the roof, and it dripped onto the piano, the tar. And it dried, and there it stayed. And it stayed at my grandparents' house with the tar on the side of the piano. It was just an upright piano. It wasn't anything fancy. It wasn't a Steinway or anything. But it had dried roofing tar on it. And it sat there for 30 years. And I remember it was a little bit of a joke. You know, it's family. I got the roofing tar. And then it went to my sister's house, and it sat there for about 5 years. And then I showed up for Thanksgiving 2 years ago, and I said, what's going on? Oh, the piano. I said, oh, I wonder, does it still have the... And sure enough, there's the roofing tar. And I said to my sister, Lauren, get me a hairdryer and get me a little spatula. And she went and got the hairdryer and a little spatula. I ran the hairdryer on the tar, and it sort of warmed up, and it got pliable. And I took the little spatula, and I gave it a little scrape. And about 80 seconds later, the roofing tar had been removed from the piano. But it had been there for 40-something years.
And that is inertia.
Yes.
And it
was there.
Almost
it wasn't
a
going
juggernaut, too. If he'd have started early and finished 40 years later, that's a juggernaut of tar removal and the invention of a new musical instrument. You ever see a guy play a keyboard around his neck? That's the piano tar.
Right.
Oh, that's what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Piano tar.
Was she grateful to have the tar finally removed?
No, I have found when you do this, it's a little bit of a shaming process.
Yeah,
so people
I was just
don't,
thinking that.
People aren't as nearly as thankful. It's not the same as you getting their cat out of a tree.
Right.
If their cat was in a tree for 40 years and you got it out of the tree, in which case you could probably do it just by shaking the tree. The point is if a cat goes into a tree and somebody's standing underneath it going, Fluffy, Fluffy, come back, come back, come back, and you come happening by, you're jogging by, and you go, ma'am, what can I do to help? Thank you, thank you, thank you. If the cat's up there for 40 years and the person's in the house and you come in and you go, guess who just got your cat out of the tree? They're not so thankful about it because your next question may have been, geez, don't you think 40 years is a long time to leave your cat in a tree? And now they're pissed.
Right.
Well, that's what my family is. They don't get out of their own way. I grew up in a house where junk was just lying around all over the place. And it's the kind of thing where if somebody had to use a pair of pliers to change the TV channel, then they used it for 10 years. That's what you did. If the handle was broken off the refrigerator and there was just a stub with a piece of duct tape on it, then that's how you open the refrigerator for the next 10 years. Whatever was broken, whatever didn't work, I told you, this is a group that didn't have a washer and dryer for 30 years.
Well, they did. It was called your mom.
Well, not really. Man. We had a washing machine, and when you dried your stuff, you'd hang it on a clothes you'd hang it on the clothes rack, and when the sun wasn't out, you'd hang it over this weird rack over the heater.
How should I know?
It was a hassle. So I walk around my house with my head on a swivel, trying to figure out what needs to be taken care of. What am I living with that has turned into the scape of my life that I don't notice anymore? What am I not noticing? As
your
a matter
wife.
Of fact, she doesn't notice anything,
right.
Which is something we argue about all the time. You know,
you woke me up for.
I say to her all the time, "How long are you going to leave that box right by the front door?" Well, I don't know what you want to do with it. Well, it was been there since April. What did you want to ask? I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I should be hired for, and everyone should pay somebody to do this, and I don't say me, but somebody. You need to get a fresh set of eyeballs on your ass. And I don't mean just your ass. I mean your house, you, your car. You need somebody to walk through the house and go, "What's up with this?" Well, yeah, that's just how we do it. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't, you know, just to walk in and go, "Geez, there's four TV remotes sitting in front of your TV. Well, this one we use to turn it on, and then this one controls the volume." And you'd go, that don't sound like a good plan to me. Let's take care of that. Whatever it is, whatever's on you, maybe it's a psychological thing. I'm just saying, your eyeballs get trained to your environment, and my stepdad has been living with a fruit roll-up 6 feet over his head for the last 30 years, and he's fine. He needs a fresh set of eyeballs to walk in there and go, "What's up with the fruit roll-up stuck to the roof of your ceiling, Pops?"
We were talking about this the other day, and I went and did it.
What'd you do?
I hired a mominger.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mom and a manager mixed together. She's approximately my age, I think a year younger. So she's not great with computers, but Amy and I can handle that, especially Amy. But she does all, like, the mom things. When I was doing the partridge family, people took care of me, so I didn't learn how to do stuff. And then when I was homeless, you didn't have to do stuff but beat up the other guy and take his drugs. And then I jumped into radio and became pretty good at it pretty fast, and people started doing stuff again. I wrote my first check the other day. I told you that. And somebody had to help me figure out where things go. So I hired a momager who comes over and is a mom. Cleans, cooks, dinner, just only once a week, just to teach us how.
Mm-hmm.
I only wish, baby. That was the one part we couldn't get past Amy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is the mom
but she's
hot?
So sweet. No. No, that's not fair. She's a precious P1 listener or whatever they're called. She loves Adam. Oh, by the way.
What are they called?
P1. That means they're the listeners that listen to us above all other stations, no matter what. A P2 is somebody who listens to us regularly, switches around, and a P3 hates us.
Been in radio for 13 years, never heard that.
Yeah, P1 means can't live without us. We're geniuses, can do no wrong.
P1?
That's who shows up at Camacho's.
Mm. Yeah. And,
So I hired...
Your man's a PW?
She's a P1, and, she knows everything we do and talk about on the show. And she learned right away not talk about the show to me, what you liked and what you didn't like. If you want to compliment me, that's fine, but don't. You're not that kind of mom.
Right.
Don't talk
right.
so dirty. You're not that kind of mom. But laundry stuff and economical stuff. And why do you two live with so many lights on? What's wrong with you? You're wasting energy. You know what she did? I thought Adam would be so proud I hired the right one. She went to the store and got all those light bulbs you like. Because I have recessed
compact
lights in every room. I must have 10 on each floor.
Yes.
She went to the store, took them all out, and replaced them.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if they call them life coaches or what, but it's not really a life coach. It's sort of a pattern breakers, they should call them.
But it was neat.
People should call them pattern breakers. Like, somebody should go into your life, should go into your house, should follow you around for 1 week, and I'm sure they would come up with 1,000 suggestions just because you get a fresh set of eyeballs on your life, and you get so entrenched in your patterns, you're like wagon wheel tracks from 100 years ago, you know, just get right. buried in them, and then everybody who lives under the roof gets indoctrinated into this, and there's really nothing you can do about it. I keep yelling at everybody in my house, open your eyes, because once you step over something three times, it's there for life. You no longer notice it. There's a window for you to do something about something. When you move into a house and you look up and you go, hey, no compact fluorescent bulbs in there, there's your window. Because once you move in and once you have a couple of Christmases and Thanksgivings in that house, that's it. It's in. Your tar on the Corolla's piano. And it will be 40 years before it gets moved, if ever. It was just a fluke that I happened to notice it. It was actually there just months after tar was invented. I was told. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Take that hour, everybody. Take that hour on Sunday. Walk around your house. Look around. Look in the mirror. Sometimes it's a real simple thing. Like I said, put a basket by your front door. Throw your keys and your wallet into it.
Oh, dude, I did better than I put up key rings on the wall.
Yeah,
like
sometimes, said, really it's, sometimes it's just a simple sort of, geez, the hamper's over here and the washing machine's on the other side of the house. Why is the hamper right next to my bed? Why am I staring at the hamper? I should move the hamper into the room where the washing machine is. You know, just little weird, I'll buy a second hamper. I'll put it downstairs and I'll put it in the closet off the front so I can toss stuff in. Whatever it is, take a lap. Get some fresh eyeballs.
When I came home and she was switching to your light bulbs without being asked and was going to give me the receipt, I guess, although I had to wrestle it from her, she had just, this is the way you live. This is the way you have to get by. She's a Caucasian woman, educated, has a son older than my girlfriend, has lived the life, and is going to share it with us. The unfortunate problem is she lives 75 miles away, so I can only afford her once a week.
Well, there goes the savings from the compact fluorescent bulbs.
Oh, she's
gone in fossil fuel.
She's not really charging me much. I just don't think it's that fair to make her drive that much for the regular amount of money because she likes us.
We need to take a break. Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating champion, the man who finally defeated Kobayashi on the holiest of days, the 4th of July in our own Coney Island.
Yeah, who's this Jason Chambers guy?
I don't know. Who is Jason Chambers?
He's the star of a great show called Human Weapon.
Oh, he's coming
thinks
up.
He can fight.
Oh, no. All right. Well, he's...
I don't have my gloves.
All right. He's not around for a while. Joey Chestnut up next.
Why was it on? What gives? On today's show, NFL Network anchor Rich Eisen, the host of Human Weapon, Jason Chambers. From He's the Soup, Joel McHale. Also, NFL picks, This Week in Rage, Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan? And hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut. Oh, wait. Joey Chestnut holds the records for most wieners shoved in his mouth in 12 minutes? Hey, Angie, forward me Joey Chestnut's email address. And a full body shot. Okay.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Joey Chestnut.
Yep.
Hey, Joey.
Hey there, Adam.
Great to speak to you.
Oh, it's been a while.
Well, we spoke to Joey some time ago, and Joey was going to try to beat the unbeatable Kobayashi.
Right.
Kobayashi.
To live the impossible dream.
Japanese national, man who's come over here onto our soil. For me, Coney Island, I'm no American Indian. I'm an atheist, but to me, that's hallowed ground. That's sacred burial territory there.
He shouldn't come over here and he shouldn't eat more hot dogs.
On the 4th of July, he eats more hot dogs than any American until Joey Chestnut
Next
came around.
Thing, apple pie.
That's right.
And then I have to punch him.
So Joey, he had won, what, 6 years running?
6 years in a row.
And then you, here's the sad thing about me. That's not written down anywhere. I just know that.
That is a
even though I could probably name three capitals out of the 50-some odd that we have.
Supreme Court justices?
Two.
Oscar Meyer?
Oscar De La Hoya?
I just don't know. It has to be hot dog related, baby. Otherwise, I'm lost. 6 straight years until Joey Chestnut polished off 66 hot dogs and buns in the very sort of confusing 12 minutes. 10 minutes, I would understand. 15, I would understand. 12 seems weird to me.
Yeah.
It's something that started many years ago, I assume, Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
How long had it been going on over there?
I think this is the 92nd year.
92nd year, yeah. And again, the first time in 6 or 7 years an American has held the crown. Now, will you be back next year to defend your crown?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I accomplished all my goals in competitive eating. I won the hot dog eating title, the hamburger eating title.
Now, the hamburger title was just a few days ago.
Yeah, I broke Kobayashi's record eating crystal hamburger.
You won the wiener contest, and then you ate more burgers, and then you said, I've accomplished all my goals.
In the eating department.
You might want to rephrase, dude.
In competitive eating, yeah. I'm getting my civil engineering degree.
Yeah, he said in competitive eating, I think.
Right.
Hey, Joey?
Yeah.
So how many hamburgers did you eat in what period of time?
I did 103 crystal hamburgers.
Wow. What kind of hamburgers?
Crystal hamburgers.
They're like White Castle out here.
Yeah, like White Castle.
They're like sliders.
103 in 8 minutes?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
With the bun?
Oh, yeah. Bun and hot water.
Ugh. Same as the hot dog technique, right?
I don't know if my stomach would hold them, but I know that I have the capacity with a glass of water to take a slider like a pill.
Really?
Yeah.
You can swallow it.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it that. I think Kimmel once ate like 86 McNuggets once. Jimmy Kimmel also ate a piece of Canadian bacon. I believe it was Canadian bacon. It could have just been bacon. Either way, it was taken from a like mix sandwich. We pulled a piece of bacon out. We took a thumbtack. We stuck it through the bacon and stuck it to the corkboard in our office.
Right.
We wrote the date under it. And 1 year later, he ate the bacon.
Now,
McDonald's
isn't preserving.
Yeah, it should be. I feel like there should be another branch of competitive eating.
I want to play in that one.
Which is sort of daredevil eating. Yeah. It's not how much, it's what.
Yeah, I can play that one.
Here's
that
some tainted more. Gino's pizza pies. Have at it.
What do you think, Joey?
Yeah, I think people would pay a little bit more to see that.
I ate.
You do because of the vomiting. Is vomiting a draw or a non-draw?
It's scary for me.
I know, but when the crowd comes, it's like a NASCAR. When people crash, even if they're their favorite, they applaud. If one of you guys gets sick, do they applaud?
The sponsors don't like it, but the people do like it. It's weird.
Probably people vomit.
Yeah.
Look, everyone loves it when somebody yaks. It's a weird thing. When you're at a party and some chick gets too drunk and just starts yakking, everyone starts laughing.
I got to get out of there.
I do too, but it's still funny.
But when Adam is talking about the wonders of the Chevy truck and in the middle throws up, you can see how Chevy would just go, did that have anything to do with us? That's not good. And by the way, it doesn't. Chevy is a wonderful truck.
Right.
But you don't want you throwing up your own customer.
Yeah, you know, the people at Nathan's don't want you tossing 18 of their dogs 4 minutes into the
money did you win from the crystal hamburger people for eating 103 burgers?
That was a $10,000 prize.
Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Can you support yourself just doing competitive eating?
Or can you support yourself?
This year I've made a little bit more than my regular job. I think I made $70,000.
And you were in the in the construction field, I believe?
Yeah, project engineer.
Right. What are your dimensions compared to the Japanese eater?
I'm a little bit heavier, and I like to eat. I'm about 6'1", 220 pounds.
And what's he?
He's about 5'6", about 140.
He's not that small. She's 25 pounds smaller than me, same size, same height.
I got news for you. That's a small guy.
$140?
$140. That's a small guy.
I mean, he's not like.
Well, for a competitive eater, it's a small guy.
$125. Because when I see them standing next to the big Americans, they look really small to me. But people always buy me large shirts. This is an extra small. I think it's just the way you look, the way you carry
but
yourself.
But it's like saying, well, the guy's 180 pounds, not a small guy, but he's playing tackle in the NFL. That's a small guy.
That's a small guy.
I mean, when Kobayashi, all 5'6", 5'7", 140 pounds of him, comes up and says, I'm the hot dog eating champion of Coney Island, you think it's a joke.
Yeah, he was holding like 14 pounds of food inside of him.
Yeah, actually, it bothers me mostly that he's a half inch taller than I am.
But I think, Joey, now you're the number one competitive eater.
Yeah, I'm number one right now.
And
feels good.
Yeah.
And now, are you single? Are you married?
Just became single.
Oh, really?
Shocker.
Gotta have a 2-year relationship.
Oh, yeah. She couldn't handle the fame and the Klieg lights, the paparazzi.
I was traveling every weekend. She had.
You know what happened? He won and lost the wiener eating contest all in the same day.
Well, I'm sure there's more where that came from, because this is a freshly minted champion right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is international superstar Joey Chestnut.
Are you still out in San Jose?
Yeah, I love San Jose.
What are you looking for in a girl? Do you need a girl who can really eat?
If she can handle wiener eating lessons.
Dude, I got a girl for you in Phoenix you're going to love.
Well, Joey, when you go out, when you sit down to eat, are you just like us and eat a normal amount, or do you eat big every meal?
Oh, it's like a boxer, man. I'm not going to go out and fight everybody.
Right.
I eat really normal.
You eat very normal.
See, I binge eat. I don't keep any food in my house because of that. I can't stop myself from eating.
Yeah.
So I keep no food in my house. So when I wake up, I have to go hours and hours and hours and go, I'm so hungry, you got to get up soon. Where my friends keep food in their house, just go up and go back to bed, and they're all fat. And I just will never be fat again.
You mean when you get up, you mean in the night or in the morning?
Anytime, day or night. There's no food in my home.
No, I know. But when you say you get up. What do you mean when you get up? You mean
get
in the morning?
Pee, get up to go to work, get up for any reason out of bed.
Oh, okay. Whereas everyone else gets up and eats.
Yeah, everybody else can go where.
But it's breakfast,
food,
right?
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, there's no food in my home.
I know, but don't you want to eat breakfast? You don't want to go hours before eating breakfast.
Yeah, no, I won't eat until dinner. I eat one meal a day.
But what do you do, just drink protein drinks?
Yeah.
No, really?
Joey says you can get used to that.
Yeah. Before a contest, I usually go 3 days without eating solid food.
Is that to empty your stomach or to gain your appetite?
I gain my appetite, empty my stomach. I drink tons of liquids, lots of milk, lots of water.
I got to say this. I know it wouldn't be a great strategy, but I love hot dogs. The other day, I went and got myself a Chicagoan hot dog from Carney's.
Nice. The one on Sunset?
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what I love in a hot dog, and I could argue with everybody about this until the cows come home. I love a steamed hot dog.
Yeah.
I like the snap.
Oh, yeah.
I like the snap of a casing. Every time I bring that up, there's always five guys who goes, I like mine grilled. Yeah. And I go, I like a sausage grilled. That's different. I love a hot dog that's steamed and it snaps when you bite into it, and it's got the steamed bun, and then you just put the mustard, the relish, and the onions on it. Delicious.
But if you're a true fan, you'll go with the grilled and not the snap if that's what's available.
I'll go with whatever they got. All I'm saying is, Joey, I know not a great strategy, but if I hadn't eaten for 3 days, and I love hot dogs, I would have a thing of mustard next to me. And with each hot dog I shoved in my mouth, I would squeeze. I'd just shoot. Just maybe call it lubrication. Shoot a dollop of mustard into my mouth about every fifth hot dog just to get that mustard flavor going as I shot it down. Joey, what do you think?
A dollop of mustard.
And by the way, you want to talk about sending a message to your partners. You showing up with accoutrements. You know what I mean? That's a cocky man. Bonaducci used to enter the ring smoking.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a confident man. I like a guy who shows up at a hot dog eating contest and spreads Golden's mustard and the relish and says, I'm not a... you see this relish? I'm going to relish kicking your ass with
it. How about that?
Do you remember in the original movie MASH?
Here's some ketchup. That's what you'll be playing.
Hawkeye Pierce or whoever it is.
You mayonnaise. God damn it, Caroli, I had it.
So close.
In the original movie MASH.
You must be a tard.
They're in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of nowhere, and the Donald Sutherland character is showing off by he's got martinis. He's distilled gin. And the new guy, L.A. Gould, comes and goes, would you care for a martini? He says, not without an olive. And now he's so offended, and he goes, oh, no problem. And he reaches in his flak jacket and pulls out a jar of olives, and they make perfect martinis. That's a 007 move. That's what I call those moves.
Joey.
Yeah.
Next year, when Kobayashi is psyching up and he's loosening up his gullet or whatever he does, you show up and you make your little spread. You get your little checkered, red and white one. Diced onions. Yeah, you get up there with a cutting board, cutting block, and just lay it all out. Even if you don't eat it, it still psychologically really sends a message. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
And a huge pitcher of beer.
I think I want to clarify this because I think what Joey said at the beginning of this interview is that he's retiring.
No, I'm not retiring, but it's really hard on the body. No doubt about it. It's like it's
It's like crash dieting.
Oh, you're saying eating 66 hot dogs in 10 minutes is bad for you? Eating two hot dogs a year is bad for you.
But Joey, are you going to be back on the 4th of July?
I'll be back if there's a challenger.
Yeah. Hey, Joey, can I say this, brother? Yeah. First off, I'll be goddamn if we're giving that belt back to the Japanese, number one. If I have to go into training tomorrow, so be it.
Yeah,
number
I'll one. Give you my belt
number
today
two,
if you don't
I'll
lose.
Tell you a couple other things that are hard on the body. War.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we all sat around during World War II after Pearl Harbor was bombed, does it? Yeah, it's a little hard on the boys. It's hard. Football.
Doesn't feel good.
Doesn't mean we don't play the Super Bowl. How about every time Sugar Ray Leonard or Muhammad Ali climbed in the ring? You think that was a little bit tough on the body? Yeah, I'd say it was tough on the body. What about those firemen that rushed into the burning towers?
All right,
having a tower collapse on you? That'd be a little tough on your body, but you know what? They won it anyway. You want to know why? Because they're Americans and it's their job.
4th of July.
All right, Joey. All right, buddy. Good job. Godspeed.
Godspeed, buddy. Whew. I like them. But I thought
like
it was going to be
motivated
some...
the man.
I think you did.
I think you did. You motivated me. I'm not
got
sure
up
to
and
do
ran
what.
Around.
I did. I had to move.
You know what? It's like Danny's kind of like one of those dogs where when I get into
I'll
arguments.
Bet there's a compliment coming
it's
after
coming.
Danny's
it's,
like a dog.
It's coming. Yeah. When I get into arguments with my wife, Molly. Once in a while, she gets agitated, you know, and then she comes up and she starts wagging her tail and she starts, like, pawing, and she thinks either she's getting yelled at or she wants to make it better somehow. Danny, actually, more like one of those fish that just responds to loud noises or something. I mean mechanical. I mean one of those devices where you come in, like the clapper or something. What I'm saying is when you start getting agitated, Danny starts getting agitated. Yeah. Danny gets up on his feet, starts shadow boxing, starts pacing, starts walking around. Kind of like my dog. This is it. Molly, if I start getting into it with my wife, Molly, I'll start getting up and start getting her flapping around, start walking around.
I take that as a compliment.
It is.
It's just the compliment is that you notice, not that I do it. That I really do shadow box. I use the mic like it's a bag, and I just miss it by an inch so it doesn't make any noise. But when Adam gets really rolling and I'm happy and I'm digging what he's saying, I get all jacked up.
All right.
Thank you for noticing.
We need to take ourselves a break. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? We have a little tease.
What were the names of Columbus's three ships?
Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? We talked to some Raiders fans. We will do that. I don't know what we're giving away.
Yeah,
I was just
going to ask. Is it Raiders tickets?
Yeah, well.
I just found out we have a $100 Amazon gift card.
Okay. That's good. We'll give that. And by the way, that Amazon gift card, you can get just
about anything,
right? It's not just the square things with the words. What?
Books.
Not just that. You can get anything.
Too.
CDs,
you
can whatever.
Hookers.
Yes. Whatever. All right. So, 866-901-ADAM. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan? Next.
It's time to name the Adam Carolla Show Employee of the Week. This week's employee never fails to achieve his potential and moves others to reach theirs. Because of clear goal setting, teamwork, and leadership this employee brings to the table, the entire staff would be pathetic failures without him. We are richer for his presence, like flowers are richer for the sunshine. We're nothing without him. This week's Employee of the Week is, once again, Adam Carolla.
Speechless. Awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you guys for being so inspired by me.
Yeah.
All right. Are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
You may not be smart. In fact, you may be an idiot. But are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
Well, are you smarter than some of the dumbest people on the planet? Raiders fans,
now,
everybody.
Are we in on this on money, or are they just playing against each other?
We got $100
they're
Amazon.
They're playing against each other, and they're playing for $100 worth of Amazon. And when I say this, don't take offense, Raiders fans. First off, you guys don't know I'm talking about you now anyway. Here's the thing about Raiders fans.
Some are big, though.
Pound for pound, the dumbest people on the planet. Giving the Samoans a good run for their money. That's right. I said it.
Well, I mean, what's the demo in that?
They're big people that don't do a lot of inventing of things.
One letter and a couple crayons.
The Raiders, Raiders fans average 345 pounds, and that's just the women. That's just the ladies. And 96 IQs.
By the way, the questions we're asking are fifth grade level.
But that's going to seem like college to Raiders fans.
Should we try?
College is that place you go to after high school. All right.
Oh.
If I whipped you people up into a frenzy, are we ready to go?
I'm frenzied.
Let's do it. Now, I'm going to talk to Andrew. Andrew was the first guy to call into the show, so it's only fair that we talk to Andrew from Fresno. Andrew?
Yeah.
You ready to play? Are you smarter than a Raiders fan?
Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
What were the names of Columbus's three ships?
That was the Nina, Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
Mm, what were the names of Columbus's three ships?
Oh, something, the Nino, the Pinto, and the Santa Maria.
Close.
Very close.
That's awful close.
Jeez. Greater.
Wow.
Oh, let's hear that answer one more time. Could we bald Brian? Because I may give him that one.
What were the names of Columbus's three ships?
Oh, something, the Nino, the Pinto, and the Santa Maria.
No, you know what? You know why it's completely wrong? Because even though it sounds close, I think it's gender incorrect.
Yeah,
one's masculine, one's feminine. But if he had the O and the A, if he would have just flip-flopped them, I don't know. I'm giving him. I'm telling you.
Says Adam Carolla on the door.
I'm giving him that one.
And I didn't buy the...
By the way, we should say that Board Op Bill is talking to people at Camacho's at a Raiders game.
Yes. I'm going to call this one a tie. It's best 3 out of 5.
And I want you to remember, guys out there, you're talking about... He's talking to Raiders fans about things they probably wouldn't know about, and he's a screaming mo. So everything is out of place at Camacho's that day.
For Bill, yes. All right, ready to go for the next question, Andrew?
Yeah.
Here we go.
What does the D.C. and Washington, D.C. stand for?
District of Columbia.
All right.
Good job.
Sounding good. Let's ask the Raiders
fan. What does the D.C. and Washington, D.C. stand for?
Oh. District of Columbia?
These Raider fans are impressive.
I thought it was Drew Carey.
Woo!
I've got a question. Who is answering first? I'm sorry if I missed something and totally did whatever it is that
Andrew answers, caller answers first,
caller
then the Raiders fan.
Okay.
All right, so you guys, I said best 3 out of 5, but it's not best 3 out of 5. It's just whoever wins. You guys are tied up. It's 2-2 right now. All right. Let's go for the next one.
Name 3 of the Great Lakes.
Lake Erie, Lake Superior, and Lake Michigan.
If you name them all, what's it spell?
I have no idea.
Huh? Oh, because I said it'd have to be in order. All right, so there you go. Let's hear what the Raider fan has to say.
Name 3 of the Great Lakes.
I don't know. Lake Powell. Lake Havasu.
That's a great lake, man.
Great lake. We'll see some boobies.
See some boobies.
Funnel a few beers.
Had your wallet stolen by a gypsy.
Maybe he has us on a technicality now. Those are damn good lakes.
Technically, it's great.
All right, so now you go 3-0. Raider fan, 2-1. Let's keep going here.
Andrew's smoking.
What type of animal is an emu?
It's a large bird, like an ostrich.
Okay, all right.
Is that correct?
In my mind, it is.
It doesn't fly.
Well, he said like an ostrich, a large bird, an ostrich. All right.
And it is the bird family code in the dictionary. Yeah.
I think it's pretty much, I just think it's an ostrich for the most part, isn't it?
No, they're shorter. They're shorter and squattier.
Hey, Andrew?
Yeah.
Are you making love right now?
No, man, I'm at work. I'm just walking around in the guard station. Hey,
are you eating?
No.
Andrew?
I wish I was. That'd be nice.
If you get one more right, would you like to maybe go out on a man date with me? Because you're really smart.
Man, sure, man.
Kind of guy.
That'd be nice.
Are you working as a security guard, Andrew?
That I am. Probably the World Police Dumb Security Guard.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that you didn't label yourself smart.
I know, least
I was
dumb.
A security guard. I was an armed security guard. I was drunk all the time and somebody gave me a gun.
Let's play some games.
Emu's not that easy. It is a bird. It's a flightless bird. He got that right.
It's a national bird of kiwi, right?
It's native to Australia.
Is it... Yeah, and it's to me that I don't think I can tell the difference really between looking at it other than between an ostrich.
I think if you
although the ostrich may be taller or bigger or something.
I believe they're related.
Yeah. All right. So, you are now is it 4-0? Is he 4-0?
That it is.
Let's hear from the Raider fan.
Let's go Adam. Hear the Raiders fan. Hold on one sec. Okay.
What type of animal is an emu?
A bird.
They have to accept it. Not as colorfully drawn as Andrew's, but still 3-1. You're 4-0, Danny.
Oh, just my question was, am I getting sucked in that this guy's like everybody keeps telling me to make friends, and I kind of like this guy. He's smart, he knows stuff, and he's fast and ready to go. But now I'm thinking we're comparing him to a Raiders fan.
Aside from
does he just appear really smart?
No, he seems smart, but he lives in Fresno. You need a friend in town.
No, I don't really.
Mm-hmm. Danny, I'm a foot taller than you. Do you hate me?
That's cool. That doesn't bother me a bit,
man. Wait a
second.
You're 6'6"?
Yes, I am.
Ooh, now I like you.
What if Danny came out there and crashed on your futon this weekend? Would you be cool?
Yeah, totally.
And when Danny says, I need to crash on your sofa, he means physically ride his motorcycle into your sofa. It's not just fall asleep. When Danny says, I want to crash in your house, he means ride his motorcycle through your living room, run over your cat, and run into your kitchen.
My Von Dutch will be ready at our barbecue coming up, and I'm free to ride anywhere like the wind.
All right, Andrew, let's see if you can go 5-for-5 and run the table.
You're impressing me, dude.
What is the first element on the periodic table of elements?
Hydrogen.
Oh, is that true? All right. No. All right. Seems like it. Hydrogen, oxygen. All right. It's true. Let's hear what the Raiders fan has to say. Maybe
what is the first element on the periodic table of elements?
I would say...
If I say it works...
Metal.
Metal? What is this? Is it hydrogen?
I think it is hydrogen. All right, so you have now gone 5-for-5, Andrew. Yeah. You may be smarter than a Dolphins fan.
You may be smarter
Rams
than a
fan.
Dolphin.
Yeah, God bless you. You need a new gig, Andrew. You're too smart to guard stuff. Someone should be guarding your brain. What's up? Why the underachievement?
I don't know. I wouldn't say underachievement, so I kind of like being lazy. I don't do much other than sit around all night.
I call $8.75 an hour underachieving.
What do you make
over
there?
Yeah, but you know what? The comparison is what's not fair.
A whopping $9.80. Ooh.
This isn't are you smarter than a brain surgeon?
Probably not, but,
So he stands tall.
Jack of all trades.
But he just ran the table on some questions that
smart.
I'm sure people
hydrogen.
Driving in their cars didn't get. So you're getting not quite $10 an hour.
Yeah, almost, but yeah.
Look, if I was employing somebody, I wouldn't F around with that. You're going to get $9.86 an hour. Just give me $10 an hour, would you, Pops?
Yeah.
Please, do you need, you know, it's the psychological, it's the opposite of what the car company does when they're like, this car's $49,999, just call it $50,000. Right, although they know you would feel bad. Spending $50,000 on a car, so they'll call it $49,999. But your boss giving you $9.80 an hour is a nice little F you to the employees. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'll kick it up to 10. You send me a bill every month. That's what it comes to. It's $1 a week, right?
Sweet.
So that's $4 a month.
He'd lose money in postage. Hey, Andrew?
Yeah.
The good news is that $100 gift certificate would be like $1 million to a gainfully employed person.
All right.
So go sick, my brother.
All right.
Buy yourself a helmet so you don't hit it on the door jams when you leave the building.
Yes,
you can borrow mine when I crash on your couch.
All right, brother. All right. Let's hear our outro, please.
God, they're dumb. Are you? Find out next time we play Are You Smarter Than a Raiders Fan?
I got to say, the Raiders fans did okay, and Andrew.
Yeah. I know.
Especially impressive. T.
Yep.
The news, what's coming up in it?
Why comedian Drew Carey is the new hero of the Heshers.
Well, that's why I keep thinking about Drew Carey when it comes to play the whole thing.
I waited for you, man.
when it comes to taking over for Bob Barker, because here's a guy who is on the weed and has a dungeon in his apartment for his lady friends.
He comes across
it's weird
wholesome.
That he's doing a daytime game show with Middle America running up on stage and hugging him. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
Adam's dog Molly will make their NFL picks for this weekend. We will count down the top five things that pissed Adam off this week on This Week in Rage. Vote now at AdamCarolla.com. Some guy from the History Channel's on. And our favorite, The Soup's Joel McHale.
The Windman is going to also be a noose around the nuts.
Back in the studio after a long absence. 866-901-ADAM, live across America. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Alrighty, T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
New information in the case of Doug the Bounty Hunter. As you've no doubt heard by now, he was recorded having a conversation with his son Tucker about Tucker's black girlfriend, in which he used the N-word any number of times. Just to refresh your memory, here is Dog talking to his son Tucker, a conversation which was recorded and then acquired by the National Enquirer.
And it's not that they're black. It's none of that. It's that we use the word we don't mean you scum without a soul. We don't mean that. But America would think we mean that. And we're not taking a chance on losing everything we got over a racial slur.
When you see Dog with his three-stage mullet, and his muscle rings and his armbands and his feathers.
By the way, that's what he wore to his wedding in white.
I just assume he's a racist. I just take a look at the guy. Looks like he's a bounty hunter.
Right.
For the love of Christ. He's not a senator.
Yeah.
I don't excuse it, but I'm just going to go ahead and assume that he is.
Sure, orchestra cellist drops the N-bomb, you're right. Surprised. But when your white trash bounty hunter does...
Yes.
Well, you ready to really hate him, Adam? Because this one will send you right over the top. Way born-again Christian.
Of course.
When I met him at the VH1 Awards for Best Reality Show, he... I was really having a problem quitting drinking, and I had heard him say he quit drugs, so I asked him about it. That man called me 3 times a week to see how I was doing for almost a year.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, while he's saying the N-word and wrecking everything. You can't
this
do both.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional facility.
Yeah. That kind of wrecked it for me.
Well, here's the thing. Al Sharpton is finally involved.
He had to iron his hair, and then he snapped in action immediately.
Those two in a hair contest? That should be interesting.
I just want to see those two up on the dais so we can have the best of both groups. The most effed up hair on a white human being and the most effed up hair on a black human being.
Okay, you want to hear the whole conversation when Sharpton meets Dog? Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me! Ow! That's what that sounds like when he talks to the dog.
Reverend Al Sharpton said yesterday that he's willing to meet with Dwayne Dog Chapman over the controversy. Sharpton wrote Dog a letter saying, quote, "If you wish to meet with me somewhere on the road, that is fine. But be assured that I will not sanitize the kind of hate language that leads to the hate action that has left so many people vulnerable in America today."
Leads to the hate action. So that's where I sort of part ways. I really do believe in the sticks and stones thing. And I'm tired of us not separating the two.
Yeah.
I believe that people can say racist things and not act in a racist way. I don't know if that makes you racist or not. As I've said before, maybe you are a racist. I don't know what the definition is. I do know that all human beings have some in them. It's part of being a human being. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a nationalism.
The cool thing is everybody hates the white guy right now, so we're safe.
When you watch the Olympics, you root for the guy from your country.
Right.
That's the way it is. And when there's a one of you, I use this example a lot, and everyone just be honest and admit it. When you flip around the station and you see a fight on TV, and there's one of you, maybe you're Italian, maybe you're Jewish, maybe you're Irish, maybe you're black, maybe you're Hispanic, whatever you are, there's one who represents your group,
right,
and the other guy doesn't represent your group. Now, all things are equal. You don't know these fighters. They're not wearing, it's not even, they're wearing the same color trunks. Mm-hmm. Everything is equal, except for one is your guy and the other is somebody else. You root for your guy.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham.
Okay,
Wellington.
That much we can agree on, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, that is the sort of beginnings, in a certain sense, of racism. I mean, that's kind of where it begins. And there's a natural, this person's different than I am. Right. I wonder what's up with them. That's a natural thing. It happens if you're a really tall guy and you go to a place where there's a whole bunch of short guys, or you're a really short guy and you're in a room with a whole bunch of really tall guys, or a really fat person in a room with a really bunch of thin people. People pick out the person that's different than the group and they go, what's up with this person? I wonder if I have to worry about this person. I'm now thinking about this person. Perhaps I'll give them a name. Perhaps it won't be a very friendly name. Okay, that's built into everybody. I think we all have that in our fabric. Sure.
And in a way, you should root for your country.
Whatever. I don't know if it's good or bad. I just know it's there. Let's not all deny that 10% we all have built into us. Then you keep adding percentages. Do you use derogatory terms toward these people? Would you not hire somebody based on the color of their skin or their religion or whatever? Do you prejudge based on? And you keep adding on. Eventually, you get to dragging someone behind a pickup truck. That's 100%.
At the very least.
I don't know. I'm one of these old-fashioned guys that doesn't go higher than 100%, so I'll have it at
100%. You don't have
110. You don't give 110%.
No matter how many Pop Warner football coaches yelled at me they need 110%,
still
I still only gave them 100%.
Let me ask you something. First
I'm
of
a
all,
quitter. I only give 100%.
I agree with you completely, except I do one racism thing different. If I'm flipping the channel and I see a fight and there's one of my guys and a black guy and it's a heavyweight fight, I don't even think twice. I bet on the black guy. I never bet on my guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not.
That's just stupid.
You'd like your guy to win, but you're smart.
Yeah, the great white hope
you're
is.
You're fiscally responsible, and you want to make some money.
Yeah.
Look, men, maybe that's racist.
I think it probably
maybe
is. In a complimentary way, but it is.
You're a coach, and you're coaching a high school basketball team, and a lanky black guy shows up, and a lanky white guy shows up. You favor the black guy. Maybe that's a form of racism. Look, I make a ton of racial jokes. Maybe that's a form of racism. I think it's about actions. Personally, I think it's about actions.
Me
and as I've said many times, people don't like this example, but I'll give it to them. I don't care how many adults are around my kids that have pedophile thoughts. It's only the ones who act on it that I'm really concerned about. If you never act on a homicidal thought, if you never physically harm anybody, I don't care how many people are serial killers in their hearts or minds. It's their hands I worry about.
Right.
And I don't want to live in a society where people hate others, even if they don't act on it. But to me, you making jokes, comments, off-colored, inappropriate, whatever, is not something we should strive for as a society. I don't think it makes you a racist. I think you doing things to harm other races in any way, shape, or form makes you a race. And maybe using the N-word does that. I don't think it inspires people. I really don't.
Sure.
I don't think America hears Dog the Bounty Hunter with his 5-stage mullet and his armbands drop an N-bomb, and it makes young teenagers around the world go, now I have to go out and drop some N-bombs. And I think, in fact, it has the opposite effect.
In a personal conversation, if somebody used those words, what it would do is the reverse. I would be livid at them for thinking they could say those words to me and that I wouldn't take offense.
Well, it made A&E suspend production of his show. Now, here's an interesting aspect of the story, and almost Shakespearean.
Bad news for dogs, but good news for felons who have jumped bail.
Right?
Yeah.
How did the National Enquirer get this taped phone call? Well, there aren't very many options, are there?
No.
Dog's lawyer, Brooke Hart, says it was dog's son, Tucker, who sent the tape of the dog using the N-word to the National Enquirer, and that he received, quote, a lot of money.
Mm.
So he recorded this conversation of Pops dropping the N-bomb and was paid for it. It's a very interesting thing about their relationship. I mean, you could really hate your father, and you could really hate that he's a racist, but would you sell a tape of him that would ruin him?
Oh, I would, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'd do it for a nickel, but...
Make me some juice.
How much is a lot of money?
And how ruined is a life?
You know, listen, dog's done.
You have dog's done, and the relationship with his son is done. Is that worth 80 grand, 200 grand? I mean, I'm just thinking, maybe it's just me. To me, you know, Dog the Bounty Hunter and his son aren't exactly top shelf A-listers. They're known. But if I'm the Inquirer, you got some dirt on Travolta, Cruz, whoever, you know, obviously we can talk, but Dog the Bounty Hunter doesn't feel like I'm going to give you $250,000.
Well, he makes $4 million now.
Dog does.
I'm A&E. I'm a cable channel.
That show does very well.
Really? Is that his salary?
I don't know his salary.
I know him really well. He started off at nothing. When I started Breaking Bonaducci, I was making more money to begin with than he was. And
he makes
his contract
four
ran out.
Million.
He makes $2.5 million. The rest of the family makes up the others. That equals $4 million.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
Sounds like a lot for that show.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
I just said he's done, but I should mention that Don Imus back on the air December 3rd on WABC.
I wonder who his first guest will be.
So.
That'd be funny if he had any balls at all.
Yeah.
All right. Drew Carey. Don Imus. The new host of The Price is Right.
Good, he's back.
Drew Carey has found a new cause to champion. It has nothing to do with spaying or neutering pets. It's medical marijuana. Drew has hosted an 11-minute video for a group called The Reason Foundation, singing the praises of medical marijuana. Here is a little bit of that video.
So I think it's clear by now that the federal government needs to reclassify marijuana. People that need it should be able to get it safely and easily. And if that bothers you, that really makes you nervous that people are out there using marijuana to ease their pain. Here's what you do. Drive down any old gas station in America like this one. Go inside, buy yourself a nice cold brew. Pop the top. They really take the edge off. For the Reason Foundation, I'm Drew Carey.
The interesting thing is that's only 11 minutes long, but if they pause it for every time you get up and get snacks, it takes 3 days to watch.
Wow. You know,
I'm with them.
Oh, I'm with him, too. But the problem with the medical marijuana is everyone makes a sort of argument of, well, we need medical marijuana because it helps with my glaucoma or my nausea or whatever. People should just, the argument, and because then the doctors come back and they go, we have better medications for that. And look, here's what the argument should be. Everyone just get over themselves. Who cares?
Yes.
I want to smoke pot. I want to get high. Fine. It's human nature. We were talking about the sort of racist human nature. Again, there's a self-medicating human nature. Look, it's the reason there's roller coasters. You want to strap yourself into something and feel the sensation of a 100-foot free fall.
Right.
We want to get out of our heads for a minute. Now, just like the racist, there is a point where you become a junkie, and that's way too much. You know, we talked about that sort of 10% where you're cheering on the USA or you're cheering on the guy from your hometown or the guy who's your religion or your nationality or your whatever in a fight. That's somewhat healthy.
The Irish
are big. And that's built into human beings. And speaking of the Irish, it's built in to a lot of people to alter themselves.
Yeah.
Altering yourself on a weekend at home, not behind the wheel of a school bus, not working farm equipment, not operating said roller coaster, fine. So be it. Let's stop pretending. People have this craving. Has anyone ever checked how much money the alcohol generates every year in this country? Obviously, into the billions. It's into the multi-millions in the Bonaducci house, into the billions, obviously. And when they tried to get rid of it, well, we just started making our own in bathtubs and started making places called speakeasies. Let's just get over it. We like getting high. Now, if somebody doesn't want to get high, fine. And if someone does want to get high and drive the school bus, then they need to be dealt with, just right. like the booze.
But if somebody wants to get high but turns out in the end, in the long run, does not have the capacity to do so safely, such as myself, they need to be forced or helped to stop.
Right.
And then, when it enters into jobs, friendships, relationships, then it has to stop. But I'm with you. I think every free American, as long as it's voluntary in the confines of your own home and you can't endanger anyone, should be able to just about anything they want.
Furthermore, what's wrong with you growing an effing pot plant in this freest of all nations?
Well, may I speak to the issue of medical marijuana? Because this just came up for me yesterday. As you guys know, my brother's in the hospital. He's been there for 6 weeks. He had a 10-centimeter tumor removed. And one of the main problems he's still having is extreme nausea. And there's no worse feeling in the world.
Right.
No.
And they've given him the pharmaceutical medications that they have for nausea. They worked at first, and now they're not working. And I was on the phone yesterday with my dad, who was in the hospital room, and I said, ask the social worker if she can get some medical marijuana. That alleviates nausea. Mm-hmm. And he asked. She was in the room, and he asked, and she just laughed like I was making a joke.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how can I bring some medical marijuana? How do I get some and fly it over there? I mean, what do I got to crotch it?
Yes. No. No. Easter, I
go. I love my brother. What do I do?
No. Relax. You either just go score some pot right here, or just ask Dawson.
I don't know. I've smoked pot 5 times in my life.
Fine.
I waited for you, man.
Just because I cleaned up doesn't mean all the bad people went away. I can get you anything you want. You don't have to crotch anything when you're only going from state to state. They don't search you. You put it in your pocket and take out everything else that would ring. You don't have to hide it. You just walk right through.
I'd need so much anxiety medication to deal with the fact that I was smuggling
pot. I'll do it.
Yeah, look, it's obviously the fact, the point that's 07 and we're still arguing about this nonsense as if we don't have problems in this country.
Right.
And everyone does that. Well, what about the kids? What about the teenagers? What kind of message? Well, the teenagers are human beings who also have that gene that wants to self-medicate, that wants to alter. It wants to alter. Look, whether it's you hyperventilating into a bag, or you watching a scary movie, or you going on a roller coaster, or you smoking weed, or you smoking or you drinking red wine, you want to alter. It's built in. It's built into young and old people. Perhaps we should get a little more comfortable with it, just like giving condoms to the same teens, and say, look, this is something that's going to be a part of their future. They should learn how to regulate it, know how to deal with the rights and the wrongs of it. All right. Sorry, T.
Is Drew Carey
going
to help the cause of medical marijuana now that he's backing it?
I would think so. Clever guy, family guy, cuddly, and does no harm. Yeah, I
love him for that. Okay. Jerry Seinfeld, another comedian, was on Larry King.
He's your medical blow.
He's got a new movie out, B movie.
I hadn't heard.
There's barely any promotion.
Yeah, it's a little indie film that can slide it under the radar.
A lot of times, Larry King is very prepared to talk to his guests. Not this time.
And they put us on Thursday. We went from 58 to 4 in 1 week. And that was it. And then we started doing better than Cheers. And then I don't know how it happened.
Lasted how long?
9 years, 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented. CNN?
Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also.
Don't most shows go down a little?
I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers. Last episode.
What? Don't take it so bad.
Well, that's a big difference between being canceled and being number one.
Okay, I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
Jeez.
B-movie opens.
B-movie opens. Is there a resume in here for
B-movie
me?
B-movie opens
Larry
tomorrow.
Over?
We'll be right back.
Funny as hell.
How dare you?
That's the funniest he's been in a while.
Are you talking about Larry?
Yeah.
Yeah, he deserves to have his jowls busted.
How dare you?
Because there's two ways to do an interview. One is you can ask the question even when you know the answer, so the person provides it.
You have to.
You can say, there's two ways. You can go, how many years were you on the air? And they go, 9 years. Or you can go, your show was on the air 9 successful years. Either way, you get your 9 years.
Right.
It's just the second part where he follows it up with, well, a lot of shows kind of go down a little bit. That's the part that he didn't need to work in.
So do some people.
I wasn't sure
well,
what
that,
he meant.
That was Jerry
that
saying.
Was Jerry yeah. saying.
Was that an innuendo?
Yes, it sure was.
Yeah, he was saying, it's time to get out. The game has passed you by.
How dare you?
I thought he was trying to say, why don't you just give me a for being so ill-informed.
Oh, that kind of go down.
Oh, go down.
Yeah.
I think Let's that's just more your where your head's at. Pardon the pun.
I think he's saying, what did you think? Either quit your job, old guy, or you now are so offensive, you owe me a hoo-ha.
Well,
that's not Jerry's
style. So do some people. Yeah, I think he's. I think they're saying the game is past y'all because they're talking. Larry King is in. I don't know what stage of dementia.
Right.
I really don't.
I know he does his interviews of Dante's Inferno. I know that
he's up there. I've seen this guy do these interviews. He's like Madonna. Your daughter Lourdes is a beautiful young. It's like it's Madonna and it's Lourdes. These are all things you should probably... Someone has to get that old man a highlighter. Madonna, you and Lourdes. Yes, he asked people retarded questions. Obviously, softball retarded questions, yeah. But retarded questions. I don't know why people watch Larry King. I think he's sort of like comfort food.
He gets really good guests.
He gets good guests because they know they're going to get softball questions. And then he has become the Kentucky Fried Chicken of interviewers. Here's why I say that. Everyone I know loves Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right.
Nobody would say, this is great fried chicken. They would go, this is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I remember eating this in the past, and I have a craving for it. Larry King is that. And by the way, that's the best thing you can do.
Right.
Forget about making better chicken. That just makes you Charlie Rose. You're Kentucky Fried Chicken. Everybody wants you, and stupid people crave you. All right, we need to take a break. T?
That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Rich Eisen. Total Access, NFL Total Access from the NFL Network. Boy, has this thing taken off. I was at their facility in Culver City a few weeks back. It's now taking up acres. It's a sprawling estate. Rich is at the helm. I probably watch more NFL Network than I watch any other network. So we'll talk to Rich Eisen next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. And now Adam welcomes former SportsCenter anchor and current NFL Network host, Rich Eisen, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, you call it the NFL Network. I call it heroin. Rich Eisen, I watch you every night.
Fantastic.
You're like the father I never had.
No, you had a...
Huh?
Well, go to sleep earlier then, Adam.
I can't. I'm addicted to all things NFL.
And yeah.
As I've said many times, the NFL Network is great during the NFL season. You get to see all the highlights and all that kind of stuff. But frankly, you can find highlights other places. You should find them on the NFL Network, but you can find them. Where I really use it is during the off season. My methadone.
Yes. Right.
It gets me through the lean months. I can turn on the NFL Network, and I can see football in April and May and June and July.
I'll tell you this, Rich. Ever since I started working here, this is Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah,
and ever since I started working here, they have enforced a drug test, a urine analysis.
Yes.
And every week, he shows positive for NFL.
I love that.
It shows positive.
I urinate NFL.
May I ask a football question from somebody who's kind of a novice? Rich, sure. This was dogging me because we bet on football here, and I cannot figure out who's going to win, the Colts or the Patriots.
And you'd like to know the answer?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'd be very hard-pressed to pick against the Patriots this week.
Thank you.
Even though the Colts are at home?
Not even close.
Actually, those three words...
Yeah.
Were uttered by Willie McGinnis, former New England Patriot.
Saw him last night, live from the Cleveland camp.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was on Browns camp. We asked him, with his experience of what he knows from this series and both teams and what he knows of both teams this year, we asked him who's going to win this game, and all he responded was saying, not even close. Exactly what Adam Carolla
said. I watched it last night. By the way, Browns cam is a totally different cam to my doctor. I just
wondering.
Want to warn you about that.
So it's not the colonoscopy thing?
No. Stay away from the dolphin one, too.
You get Browns cam once every 6 months.
Wait, now even giving up the 6 points?
Yes.
You know, as an employee of the National Football League, your gambling terms confuse me.
Sorry.
The Patriots have been not only just beating people, they've been leaving their, teams in drooling mass in a bald fetal position in the corner. I mean, they're just ruining everybody. And the Colts, it's interesting, both teams have sort of had a role reversal. The Patriots have the best passing offense, and the Colts the best passing defense. It's usually the other way around. But last year's AFC Championship game was a high-scoring affair, and I expect this one to be too.
Yeah, but here's what I've been saying about the Pats all year long. You know, first off, they're a juggernaut. The Colts are good. Every year, there's a good team. Sometimes it's the Steelers, and sometimes it's the Seahawks, and sometimes it's the Pats. This is different than a good team. This is a dominant team.
A machine team.
This is a machine-type team. And, each week it comes up. It's like, ooh, Pats are playing who? Ooh, 11 points. That's a lot to give away. That's a pretty big spread.
Let's do it.
What's the final score? 48 to minus 2.
Yeah. Negative integers.
Yes, they are crushing people. And, Rich, as someone who follows football, tell me if you agree or disagree on a couple of these points involving the Pats. People want to compare the quarterbacks. They want to compare the receiver cores. All that is essentially a push. It's the going for it on fourth down and converting every time.
It's the quarterback sitting back there like he's in a rocking chair eating a sandwich
all
on the porch.
Day reading the Sunday paper.
Tom Brady hasn't really gotten hit hard
yet. He hasn't been pushed.
Well, everybody's talking about how the Patriots are running up the score and how Brady, someone's going to take a cheap shot at him. I'm like, you got to get to him to take the cheap shot to him.
They can't get near the guy, and the team does everything perfectly. They're throwing to the tackle eligible. They're, like I said, converting every fourth down. They're an unbelievable machine, as Danny says. And when it comes time to this hyped game of the year, right. And I pray it's a close game.
Me too.
But when it's 34 to 17 or 34 to 21, that 5.5 points isn't going to seem like very much. I pray the Colts win, because for me, if the Pats crush them, like I think they will, the season is essentially over.
Right.
I have a real question. I know nothing about sports. It's just not my thing. I actually, when we get someone like you on the phone, I know Adam knows so much, I move my microphone out of the way.
Oh, well, you can't do that.
No, I do, because I don't want to interrupt.
You got to be a factor, Danny. Come
people, I really can't. I like to, but I can't. I do my best job by staying out of Adam's way on sports.
Right.
But I do have a real question. Is it Tom Brady we're talking about, the quarterback that can't be touched?
Yes.
When he does get touched, and I do care about boxing, and there are boxers who are the best ever, and then they get hit once, and it's that shot, and they never recover. They're never the same guy. If somebody gets through to this guy,
no.
And I don't mean cheap shot him or anything like that.
Answer's no.
Broken ribs are going to change his life?
No.
He's like 6'4". I mean, he is a big dude, Tom Brady.
Yeah, he hasn't been
like one of these. His idol is Joe Montana. Now, Joe Montana was barely 6 feet. He was very slight in build. But Tom's
more nylons.
Really big dude.
Yeah, it's really weird when you have to get down on one knee to take a picture with your idol.
Doesn't happen very often. All the time. So, Ribbit, not a deep injury or anything. Just being hurt for the first time sometimes changes people.
Oh yeah, if you A can get to him, and B if you can hurt him. He hasn't been touched this season. He's going on a sixth season. He's been hit many other seasons. And never been injured. That team is a juggernaut.
Well,
I'd love it for them to be stopped. Hey, Rich Eisen from the NFL Network. Total Access, by the way, name of Rich's new book, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Would you agree with this assessment when it comes to playing the Pats? And speaking of touching Tom Brady, don't these teams need to readjust their strategy and say, look, we're just going hell-bent for re-election here. We're going to pin our ears back. We're going to see if we can get to Brady. We'll probably get burned, but it's our only recourse, blitz. Send everybody. Instead of dropping back, doing the soft zone, rushing three or four guys and being picked apart slowly and to the tune of 54 points.
They'll never do it. Each teams rarely change what they do and what they are. I mean, they may have a new wrinkle. They may, move a guy around. But, Tony Dungy plays that same Tampa 2, not to get really hardcore, but the same defense that everybody's mimicked over the last 10 years and calls the Tampa 2 because he used to employ it. back when he was the coach at Tampa Bay. It's just, you know, Tom Brady, they just know each other. I mean, this is the 10th time that they're playing each other since Brady started in 2001.
I pray the Colts win, or at least it's a close game, but I think the Pats are going to roll over them, and when they do, people will realize, well, there goes the Super Bowl. That was just it, and it sucked. Hey, can I ask you quickly to listen to something I have seen on the NFL Network, and I always laugh about it, and nobody else has ever brought it up to the best of my knowledge, but I'm in love with this clip from Deacon Jones, because listen to his answer when he includes the fair of the sex in his pass rushing technique.
Okay. I developed the thing they call a head slap. The head slap was to do two purposes. One was to give myself an initial head start on the pass rush. In other words, an extra step. Because anytime you go upside a man's head or a woman, then they have a tendency to blink their eyes or close their eyes, and that was all I needed.
Rich, could you address this tonight, the fact that Deacon Jones included women in his head-slapping technique?
It's very misogynistic pass.
In a way, it's
disagree.
I think it's very enlightened.
So do I. I think that was the era where you did not say policeman.
Well,
you said police person.
You'd do that thing where you'd correct yourself. You'd go, in the future, if I would say if the president, if he so or she so chooses, they should be able to. You would correct yourself. Maybe Deacon was just doing that with the head slap.
Right.
It very well be. I haven't heard that before. I think you've unearthed something.
Now, if he had gone and said something like, I invented the head slap, so I would get that. I'd hit a man and he'd blink and that'd give me an extra second. And then I'd go home and smack my bitch up. That'd be two different things.
It was a different...
I'd also be the host of the NHL Network by the end of the week.
It was a different era. There were a lot of women playing strong side tackle in the NFL in the 60s and mid-70s. Honestly, yes, Rich?
Different era.
I honestly
believe... If you ever meet Deacon, he's a real interesting cat.
And, it's called a blowhard.
What do you mean interesting?
He's from a different era. He's the guy who he's the one who invented the term sack. Of the quarterback. He's the one who came up with the idea of calling it a sack because he's putting the quarterback in a bag.
You mean if it weren't for him, my testicles would just hang free?
That's right.
Crown
Royal.
Aren't you glad you had the microphone in front of your face?
One time.
You're a factor.
I'm a factor. I told you.
A factor in this.
Yes, he may be.
Teams.
He is such a colossal blowhard. Deacon Jones. I'm convinced he's somehow related to Tyra Banks.
Is that possible?
My mission is to collect a little DNA from the Deacon, from the Minister of Defense. As a matter of fact, next time he comes into the studio, save the Kleenex he uses to dab his face. Would you please?
Would you like to do a DNA test?
I'm convinced I could link him to Tyra Banks.
Kiss my fat
hey, Rich.
Yeah.
I'd love to come in and do some long snapping for you again soon.
You know what? That was a fantastic long snap when you came on our program. You hit me directly in the hands. You're like, which side do you throw to? Which side do you punt to? I said, at my right side. You fired it in there. And I got to see a new view of you that I'd never seen before.
That's right. The ace man from behind. Hey, Rich Eisen, Total Access is the name of the book, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. We'll see you soon.
Have me back
anytime.
I appreciate it, Adam. Same to you.
Rich Eisen, everybody.
Bye, Rich.
NFL Network. Good times over there. I'll tell you, where the hell has that been my whole life? What took us, 70 years of broadcasting to come up the NFL Network? It is awesome. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Jason Chambers, who's that? That's the human weapon.
Is he the handsome younger one or the giant Baldwin?
He's the handsome younger one on the History Channel Friday night.
Great show, man.
Tonight, I was just watching, Extra. I think he was on there as one of the most eligible bachelors or hunky whatever. So
That's a brilliant show. That's a great show.
He's an mixed martial artist, 16-4 is his record, and he is the host of The Human Weapon. We'll talk to him next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
Ladies, he's one of Hollywood's best-kept secrets. Jason Chambers is the red-hot host of The Human Weapon, a martial arts show on the History Channel. He's 27, 6 feet tall, 175 pounds, with bold brown eyes and Midwestern charm. He's also an ultimate fighter.
Jesus, shut up. You're making us all look bad. Jason Chambers is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I'm doing right now.
The Human Weapon was my poor name. before I change it to Phil McKeister.
Yes. I just want to say when we get started, we have some people like Sugar Ray Leonard is a lifetime idol, so I can't say that about you. But I'm a very, very, very big fan of you and your show.
Thank you.
It's a great show.
I appreciate it.
How did it get started? What was the thought process behind it?
I don't think there was a lot of thought getting into this show because I get my butt kicked all over the world. I didn't think too much. I was actually in Japan for a fight at the time, and when I came out to L.A., I was balancing an acting and a fighting career. So I was in Japan, and I was on an MMA website, and I just saw an audition for it, and it was just talking about people going around. They wanted a fighter that could learn different martial arts and compete in them and host a show. So,
they've got two things, though. Do you know the show?
Yes.
There's two things, because he travels with a giant who is also a very skilled fighter, and they go to Thailand, and I went to Japan expecting to be tall, and I was not. They've changed their diets, they eat the food. I am not big for a Japanese man. I'm of average height, and I thought I would be tall. You now have to go to Thailand and Cambodia for me to be big. Well, when they go to Thailand and Cambodia, the giant that you travel with, it doesn't look fair. So they make you fight these Muay Thai guys that'll cut you to ribbons. And for
Dude,
I mean,
I'm not throw me to the fire all
not,
the time.
Not in a gay way at all, but you're really handsome. And in those kind of fights, elbows and knees to the face are okay.
Yeah, and that's
Don't you
the
get
norm.
Scared?
You know, we try to be cognizant that we have like three or four shows. We usually shoot three in a row, so we're on the road for about a month at a time. So I mean, and usually we don't have an off day. We'll fly out a 14-hour day. We'll fly a 14-hour flight the very next day. We're training. Right. Yeah, that is one of the problems we ran into because Bill's 295 right. pounds, 6'4".
Doesn't look right.
I'm 6 feet, 170. Everybody wants to beat up me. They're like, right. I don't want to fight that guy.
I'm still recovering from Sugar Ray Leonard staring at me. That still hurts.
Well, what have you learned from your travels, either culturally or physically? Like what? What strain of the martial arts, be it the kickboxing or the karate or kempo, whatever it is, what seems to be the most effective or most surprising?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the parameters of what's effective. For the street, there's different things that are effective than in the ring. And coming from a mixed martial arts background, I kind of had a little bit of an ego going in because you see things like the UFC Pride and you kind of have this idea of what works and what doesn't. We don't see certain martial arts taking off in those areas. So this show has really opened my eyes to, hey, you know, martial arts, there's street martial arts, there's sport martial arts, and then kind of combining the two. I was really impressed with Krav Maga as an overall martial art.
Yeah, the Israeli.
Badass. But you also got to, I think your show also is a very decent travel show and a history show.
Well, I would hope so. It's on the History Channel.
It
definitely has cool elements.
It's not just people beating each other's brains in. It's how it started. It's where it came from. Will you answer me this question? Because I think it's a legitimate question. I hold a third-degree black belt in Okinawan Chido-Ryu and two first-degree black belts in Korean martial arts. And I think they work because, and I hope this is offensive to no one. I think it's just a fact. They are approximately the same size. The people, the Chinese that did the Kung Fu are approximately the same size. Where in America, if I'm a third degree black belt and I go up against a guy who's 6'5 and tough as an ox and hasn't taken one class, I'm still going to get hurt real bad if not beat. My third degree black belt does not beat giant.
Right, absolutely.
Over there, it's who knew more because they're approximately the same size and weight. Do you agree with that?
No, 100%. I mean, a lot of the martial arts are kind of linear. You know, they're not training in anything that takes them out of their element. And one of the cool things about the show is that all these martial arts have a history of, you know, well, why are they using, you know, farm instruments as opposed to using these
size?
Swords.
I'm real good with those.
The size, you're good with those?
Yeah, real good.
That's cool, man.
I should bring them in and show you guys sometime. It'd go wow.
You know, Jason Chambers, the human weapon, has some special skills. You know on your resume where there's a special skills section? Is that only actors? I don't know. But I found his resume online.
It's only actors. Yeah, if you do data entry.
They don't have special skills?
Writing,
data
entry. Equestrian, English, and Western style doesn't really work.
He has some skills, first of all.
Cockney accent, not that important when they're hiring.
Here
the
on
Fortune 500 company.
Here
yes.
on IMDb.
Yes.
Some of his skills, Adam.
Mm-mm.
Dance. Not only club, but freestyle, hip-hop, and modern.
Yeah.
Mm. Good.
And he does some accents, Scottish, Irish, and British.
Oh, why did you do that? Oh, this is horrible.
Well, it's the only time I feel I'm alive is when I'm dancing. Maybe Jason shares my love of dance.
It's the thong that's throwing me off, Adam. It's not your dance.
My wife always pays me a very nice backhanded compliment
what?
When she talks about what a horrible dancer I am. Because She says, you have great balance. I can ride a unicycle and ride one of those cylinder go-go boards, you know, that slide around. You have great rhythm. When I box, I have great rhythm. Why are you a horrible dancer?
Right,
it's a weird thing when someone pays you a nice compliment and then wants to know. It's one of those things where they go, you're smart as heck. You're bright as the sun. Why the D minus on every report? And so it ends in a little embarrassing way, but the buildup is good.
Hey, I just thought of something we should exploit, I think, is the morning show in town, the new sheriff in town. We're the only morning show that can ride unicycles, and as a boxing coach and a currently still active fighter a little bit, we're probably the baddest, and I mean physically, morning show. Shouldn't we just go beat up the competition?
I got two
unicycles?
Names for you, Mark and Kim.
I can take her. I think I can take her.
We should ride our unicycles over to, like, Mark and Brian's studio and beat them up and then ride our unicycles back.
It seems odd.
It does seem odd. And what would Teresa do?
Yeah.
Have you ever been... You ever been really hurt on one of these shows on The Human Weapon on A&E?
You know what? The most recent one, we just got done filming a Taekwondo episode. I got back about...
Taekwondo? You got hurt doing Taekwondo?
Well, you know, that's because I'm an idiot, basically. It wasn't really the match itself. Yeah, well, no, and it's justifiable. We always have to fight these guys that have these huge accolades, and they're four-time world champions and stuff like that.
Like Rogan,
right, exactly. Like good old Joe Rogan. He's a bad... that guy kicks harder than anybody I've ever seen.
But he's the real deal because he does all his stuff. Taekwondo is from the movies.
Right, well, he actually used to do full contact Taekwondo. So, like, he used to do some pretty hardcore stuff. But, he's a badass. I think that... I just messed up my knee because I tried a spinning, like, roundhouse aerial kick because I thought I was a lot better than I was, and I came down on my knee and I tore my LCL, and then I decided to try it again.
Oh.
and my knee didn't like
now,
that.
You must know this by now, that, like, when you were taking karate, what age did you start?
I started doing martial arts when I was about 6 or 7.
I started at 10 as a publicity stunt with Chuck Norris. He had a movie coming out, and I was in the Partridge Family, and he gave me a lifetime membership, and it's one of the few things I stuck with. I just stayed with it for 25 years almost every day. And I wanted to learn jumping, spinning, back kick, running, jumping, spinning, back kick. So you take two full leaps, runs, and jump 360, or actually 180 degrees, kick
stuff
with the opposite
foot. Stuff
you
see in the movies, yeah.
Would you agree with me that if anybody leaves both feet off the ground to fight with you, you'll just smash them to death for that move?
Yeah, because, you know, it's unfortunate because as a society, it looks really cool.
But
we see all this stuff on TV. It doesn't work, though.
No.
You know, a lot of that stuff just doesn't work.
You take both your feet off the ground while fighting me. I will grab you out of the sky and break your back.
Yeah, and when can you not see that coming? At what point of the fight are you like, hang on, and your guy, like, steps back and then looks at you, sizes you up, and kind of gauges that distance? And
usually they do in slow motion, too,
right.
So it's easy to...
Speed it up during the fight.
Back to the resume.
Yeah.
I feel like we blew past that just a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
Does he have a black belt in doing an Irish accent?
According to his resume, he can do an Irish accent.
I think it's more Scottish, the dialect, than it is Irish.
I'll take either.
You'll take either. Oh, you guys are horrible.
I'm trying to get into it.
You guys are horrible.
Dance for Daddy.
Let me get into a...
I'm waiting!
You're so nauseous, Brad.
It's horrible. Now, you guys are both Irish, so I'm really under the gun here. Are you
I'm
Irish,
Italian.
Too?
I'm Italian.
You're Italian?
I'm Italian, too.
I'm Hungarian.
Bonaducci, it sounds a lot like an Irish name, I know. You have been hit by Rogan, haven't you?
Many, many times and choked.
You can do this.
Let's see. What do you want me to say?
I've got it.
Right, go ahead.
Why don't you and I do a scene from one of the hundreds of thousands of kung fu movies we've seen, except with Irish accents instead of the dubbed in English?
All right.
Works.
All right, you start.
Thanks, Dan. Made it so much easier.
This is horrible.
You can do it.
All right, let's do a grasshopper scene.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Dude, I don't know if I can break out the Scottish right now.
You can do it.
All right. I got to get in my zen here.
Any movie. Don't even have me a grasshopper.
All right, okay. Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy.
Dig deep.
All right, you want me to help?
You
want me to
start? You started, man. Yeah, I'm blanking. I'm Scottish.
Can you play some Irish or Gaelic?
All right, go ahead.
I am the goddess, son. Your tiger, go ahead. It's not working like your Sifu. Your Sifu sucks. He said you'd be so much better than we.
Now all you gotta do is beat that.
That's really hard.
Beat that.
It's not so bad. You have to actually be able to get inside your character a little bit. And, you know, it's not... The Scottish is a little bit harder than the Irish, but, you know, it's a little bit rougher on the edges, grasshopper. It's hard, man. It's hard when you're
doing
yourself 3 hours.
I'll take it. But I got him to do it.
That's horrible.
You did it very well. I'm impressed under this kind of pressure.
Dude, well, you know, usually I have a script and I'm able to go, that I can't say that in English. How am I going to say
now
it?
Now I need the freestyle hip hop dancing. Please.
Hi, let's rewind 3 minutes ago with that torn LCL thing.
Yeah, a little popping and locking would be nice.
Just a little popping and locking.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That is good. I tore my ACL and moved furniture to a second-story apartment the entire evening. So I'm an idiot.
Lot of honkies in here.
Problem with when you screw your knee up, you don't know you've screwed it up sometimes. You just think it hurts, and then you just keep going, and then later on somebody tells you you screwed it
up.
That's
what happened
to you. I thought I just sprained it, yeah, because that's why I wouldn't have gone back in if I thought I just sprained it. And, you know, if I thought I tore my LCL. And then I went to the doctor. They're like, yeah, you sprained it, but you have a tear in your LCL, which it's a grade 2. It's not the worst. I actually, during the pilot, we shot the Muay Thai episode. I had a completely severed MCL. I got inside heel hook training, and I just tore my MCL to shreds.
I keep hearing about this Muay Thai, but what is it?
It's a kickboxing sport that is actually from Thailand, where they incorporate elbows and knees as well.
And flying knees.
And flying knees.
They run across the ring. And then they grab your head and smack. It's the move you were doing the other day. Remember, Adam,
yeah,
when you dance?
And the guys, yeah, UPS guy shot me a little attitude. I gave him a flying knee.
That's I broke my MC Hammer hall. One time.
And also they wear a lot of weird ribbons that fly around, too, which is a weird thing. Sometimes the kickboxers and stuff wear like armbands and headbands and stuff like that.
How popular are you on their scale, on your bell curve? Are you one of their most popular shows?
Yeah, I think it's the most popular show that's on the History Channel now.
The reason I asked that is because I went 14 seconds with Chuck Liddell and 9 seconds with Sugar Ray, but I was stuck right there and couldn't move. I think I could go around with almost anyone. Do you think that kind of show is popular enough that we should put a ring on this roof and I can go around with any man that wants to come in and go? As long as he's got a show about fighting.
As long as he has a show about fighting.
How long, a fighter.
How long are the rounds? Are we talking about parameters? Boxing round.
Or kickboxing or MMA. Anything.
2 minutes. That's, you know, if you give me 3 minutes, I think that 2 minutes, I'm going to give you some credit, man. You're a pretty.
Bruce is a good looking man.
I said frigid.
Let's put a ring up and let's just see. Let's just do it. Well, maybe we can do two minute rounds. We'll give you like a 20 minute break in between so that you can have a few packs.
Okay.
We'll have a 2 minute round on Monday and like the second one on Thursday.
3 minutes is a long round. I mean, two feels long, but
5 minutes is wicked.
The MMA rounds are 5 minutes, and that is ungodly.
Have you ever been choked out?
I haven't been choked completely. Actually, no, I take that back. When I did gi jiu-jitsu back in like late 90s, I got choked out when I was younger.
That was my poor name, too.
Gi
jiu-jitsu.
Could you put me out safely that I could wake back up?
Safely?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Or whatever.
For sure right now?
Yeah, 100%.
If I just got that chair, sat down and let you do it, you could put me out and I'd wake up?
You'd probably want to sit down. I wouldn't want to have you fall off the chair. But yeah, you go out in about 6 seconds.
All right, go ahead.
Like what happened to Murray Osmond on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, yeah. Really? Was
Jason Chambers joke.
If it goes wrong, it's my fault for asking.
Choked her out.
Spat?
No, hey. If it's my fault for asking if anything goes wrong, what do you think?
I don't like seeing people choked out. I really don't.
Even if it's me?
I'm torn because I know this is one of those good radio things, but I also don't like seeing people choked out.
I know, but I've made
out.
My reputation not doing good radio, and I'm not
Let's
about
keep
to
it
start
that way.
Now. Yes. Jason Chambers, The Human Weapon,
really
History
cool
Channel, Friday nights, 10 p.m. Mazel tov, as the MMAers would say.
Yeah.
Nice job.
I really like handsome men who can fight.
We will. I won't examine that. Speaking of
there's a good reason. There's a good reason.
Speaking of handsome men who can fight, Joel McHale is coming up. But next, I think we'll do This Week in Rage. All the things I've been railing about brought to a head. I'll do all 5 topics as voted on by you. This Week in Rage, next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. It's time for This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
Where we count down the top 5 things that made Adam mad this week.
I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Gentlemen, start your anger.
Bring it on.
Here's Adam.
All right. It's going to be tough because I just saw Joel McHale out in the hall.
I know.
Dressed like a schoolgirl?
I got a mush on him. Man crush.
Gonna go on a mandate?
Like to have a mandate with Joel McHale. Anyway, hadn't seen him in a while. He's been out, so he's coming in here after this. I'm gonna see if I can get a little ire going. It's not always easy, but I'll see if I can muster muster it for This Week in Rage. Are we ready?
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Now, again, this is voted on by you. We have the breakdown. Carob chips. People who prefer Raisinets to Goobers. Uh-oh, I'm starting to get angry. My mom giving out walnuts for Halloween. The band, The Wiggles. And my wife asking my assistant to bring home 2 sandwiches because she invited a friend over and was too effing lazy to make her own sandwiches.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
Let's start at the top. As voted on by you, Carob. Scourge from the 70s. My mom was a health food nut, so thus there was no candy in the house, but there was Carob. Carob was like somebody put white sugar, powdered sugar on a charcoal briquette and shoved it in your ass. That's basically, and then you belched. That's what Carob tasted like. And I thought to myself, all right, well, so it tastes like fried hell. It ain't chocolate. Doesn't taste anything close to chocolate, but why not? Maybe there's some savings in the calorie department. Well, I went and looked it up. Dark chocolate is 159 per ounce in the calorie department. Carob is 153. It's the same calorically and the same fat content. So you're just punishing your tongue for no good reason, you effing hippies. It's the thing you pick out of when you get trail mix and they put those stupid effing Carob chips in there. I would like everyone who distributes Carob chips, who manufactures Carob chips, who likes Carob chips, just all get... Just go to Carob Cliff and jump off it. You make me sick and drown in Carob Sea. All right, people.
Number 4.
Speaking of chocolate, the people that prefer Raisinets to Goobers, how retarded do you have to be to buy a candy because you like the sound of it better than the taste of it? I've done some informal surveys, and as you know, I figured out that 70% of people prefer a chocolate-covered peanut to a chocolate-covered raisin, yet Raisinets outsells Goobers 10-1. To the point where Goobers aren't even available in a lot of places. Raisinets are available. That is a candy-coated crime in this confectionist's book. All right, I don't write this stuff out.
That's true, man. When he's batting 500 to 700, he's on fire because he doesn't write a word down.
That's right. I don't need a carob-covered... teleprompter to
number 3.
All right, here's one I'm gonna have no difficulties with. My health food mom giving away walnuts for Halloween. Walnuts, whole walnuts, which were just placed into the hands of 9-year-olds and fired right back at our crappy house we grew up in. That's right. She liked Carob, raisins, and walnuts, all the things I've learned to hate. And she was into health food. But here's the deal. If you're a born-again Christian and a guy comes over for Halloween, don't drop a Bible into his sack. If you're from the Middle East, don't dump the Quran on the guy. Don't impose your crappy, retarded theology or ideas upon young people. They came to your house for an effing peanut butter cup or baby Ruth or baby Butterfinger. Why don't you give it to them instead of the effing walnuts, which just got hurled back at the Corolla house, lowering my self-esteem. I didn't think I could get lower, but a single tear running down the eye of the Ace Man as he looked through the window at all the disappointed young kids. All right. What's the next one?
Number 2.
The Wiggles. The band The Wiggles. I guarantee you guys all think your favorite band. I bet The Wiggles have made twice as much money as they have. I bet they've made more money than The Who and The Rolling Stones and The Beatles all combined. Uh-oh.
Yummy, yummy.
Yummy,
yummy. Yummy, yummy fruit salad. Let's make some fruit.
Your hack musician who couldn't cut it in the real world. You couldn't entertain adults, so you had to entertain people that didn't have developed brains. It's the same cop-out as writing a children's book.
Peel your bananas.
You're singing a song about the construction of fruit salad and making millions and millions of dollars. And by the way, probably going back to your palatial estates and doing mounds of cocaine and banging piles of hookers. Probably a big, you probably use a pitchfork to move the hookers. There's a huge pile of hookers and the Wiggles, the lead guy, the purple guy, Mr. Purple Shoes or whatever the hell he's called himself. He was in a failed rock band in high school and in college, but now he's copping out. Anything you do for kids is a cop out. Whatever. Even the guys that designed the child safety seats for the Volvo wagons. Cop out! You're bankrupt as an atheist. I mean, as an artist, I'm bankrupt as an atheist. But you have $1 billion in the bank because you sold out to the juveniles.
Number one.
My wife asking my assistant to bring her and her friend a sandwich. She had a little play date. And she told me the evening before, I'm having one person over, one adult female over for a play date. And I said, fine. And she said, what are we going to do for lunch? And I said, you know that place, that room in the house that has the box with the fire in it? It's called the oven. She said, yeah. I said, next to that box is another box, but this box is different. It's cold. And in it resides cold cuts and cheese and bread and all sorts of things you can use to construct what we call a sandwich. Our forefathers, actually our foremothers, used to make sandwiches for their men when they came home. They didn't have assistants. They didn't have delis. They didn't have takeout. They made their own sandwiches. Why? Well, part was out of necessity. But what was the other part? A little something called pride.
Right.
A little do-it-yourself, can-do attitude American women used to have. Not I'll send it to the cleaners. Not I'll get the Mexican lady to clean it. I'll do it myself. Remember that poster, ladies? Remember that poster from the 40s?
Rosie
the war effort? That's right. Was a woman. Tied her hair back, rolled up her sleeves, and made her own BLT. Well, I miss that, Moxie. Baby, get out the Miracle Whip. Daddy's coming home.
And beautiful. Leave your age.
Thank you.
Is there an outro? Because I have a question. Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
The Miracle Whip's going to turn to pee whip when I get home.
Your wife doesn't like that, Jack?
She said to me last night, why don't you quit complaining about me on the radio?
Yeah, why don't you? She's busy taking care of your children. That's why she can't make sandwiches.
That's why. You know what my wife did yesterday? Called me when she landed from Paris. I was her first phone call. I worked 5 jobs that day. I was her first phone call to see how she was doing. That's why you don't stop complaining about your wife who kicks back in bed till noon.
It's very difficult to concoct or construct a sandwich when you've got 2 little ones.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep your eye on them.
Mm-hmm. I say she uses Olga, the nanny, to watch them that I pay for and then makes and bees with the sandwich. Here's all I'm saying.
I've got my question about the carob, though.
One second.
Go ahead, sir.
I just want to say this quickly as it pertains to anybody. My main message in this is, I need to eat tomorrow. Don't have your first thought go, who's going to bring me some food?
Right.
Right.
Think, how am I going to make this sandwich or how am I going to take care of whatever it is, whatever you're talking about in life. Your first thought should be, how am I going to take care of this? That's what I want to instill in the kiddies. Yes, carob.
I'm wondering if carob is native to jungle areas and collected by the carob Indians and therefore even worse because that's essentially slave labor.
Mm. It would definitely be one more strike against the horrible tasting carob.
Sound real bad.
And it is, I'm sure it's some bean or some root or somewhere. And maybe it is the carob Indian.
Let's just say it is. It makes it worse.
Somehow, somebody just decided in 1971 that we should all punish ourselves by eating something that tasted 20 times worse than chocolate, but was the same calorically.
Right.
And again, everyone got just as fat off it. There you go. That's health food. That's the whole thing about the movement. It has to be different. That's the thing.
If it's
different, it must be better. As it turns out, when time passes, we look back on all these things and realize, that was just different, not better.
Well, they say the hell you know is better than the hell you don't know. That's why women don't get out of abusive divorce marriages, because the hell they know is better than the hell they don't know.
Gretchen told me
that. And boy, was she wrong.
She texted me from Paris. Yeah. Said I'm the top of the Eiffel Tower.
She said, bonjour, Ted.
Wait till she sees this this new contract to find out she's going to Paris, Texas next year. But the fact of the matter is, often the hell you don't know is excellent. You meet a really nice man. You quit your job because it's bad, and you get a better job. The carob was a bad idea. It was a bad idea from, like, conception.
And it should be outlawed now. Does anybody...
Now that we know it's slaves.
Does anyone want to eat trail mix and go... Does anyone... ever see anyone eating trail mix going, I buy it for the carob chips. I love carob. Have you ever heard anyone go, like, more carob, I need more carob, or for a gift, I'll get you a box of carob. I want a big block of raw carob so I can melt it down and bathe in it. Nobody likes carob.
The guy that doesn't make it?
Angie asked me for a box of carob for Christmas because she loves it. It's the only thing she'll eat.
Please. Please. She told me the other day she didn't like air. She didn't like the taste of it, but she said she'll put up with it.
In some cities, and then in other cities, she doesn't mind the air.
We'll take a quick break.
Loopy's on
Loopy
the phone.
Loopy says she'll treat me right. Hey, Loopy.
Hello, good morning.
What's going on, Loopy?
Not much, just driving to work.
Mm-hmm. What do you have to say?
Well, I just want to say I really, really love you guys, and your wife has no excuse. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I have three little ones, and I cook, I clean, I do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you would do that for Adam, you say?
I would. I love you, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I have this huge crush on you.
Mm-hmm. And your children, they could get used to calling me Daddy. I don't want that weird stepdad thing, you know?
Warbucks.
It's always weird. I have step-parents. You know, I have to do that weird thing where you're... Stepmom answers the phone, and you have to put the my in front of your dad, which
yes,
is weird.
Very.
Hi, Lynn. Hi. Could I talk to my dad? Yeah. Or then it's weird. I have to call him his name. Hi, Lynn. Is Jim there? It's all weird.
Yeah,
the step-parent
really
thing is weird. There, by the way, someone needs to work the language out with the step thing so we don't have to use the my dad, or it's weird when you don't know whether to call your stepdad dad or his first name. Could they call me... Could they just call me Your Highness?
Well, according to my ex-wife...
Absolutely. They're little.
All right.
According to my ex-wife, I've got this all worked out.
Well, Loopy, where's their dad?
Their dad just decided that he wanted to mess around, so he's gone.
That's awful. You know what? It's a very special kind of loser to just walk out on their family.
Really? I would never cheat on you and let you find out. I'm going to make that commitment to you right now.
I would cheat on you and try not to let you find out, but you'd find out because I suck at it.
I'm sorry, Danny. Was I cutting you off before?
Well, yes. Right. What were you going to say, Danny?
I don't remember at all.
All right. Well, my mom used to say must not have been very important.
Exactly.
It's the only thing she ever told me. Thanks, ma'am. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Loopy?
Yes?
I'll get your number off the air in case the wheels come off the wagon when I get home.
Just take it round and round.
All right. Good times. Now, listen. I love carob. I was complaining about my wife. I don't need her to make me a sandwich. I just needed her to make her a sandwich.
Right.
Understand, before people start calling me a misogynist, I wasn't asking. I didn't say, hey, baby, go in the kitchen and rattle them pots and pans for me. Is it rattling for you?
I was real drunk for a decade, and I thought my wife was a genius, and I kept going on talk shows and magazines, and my wife has taken such good care of me and made me able to make a living, and I'm this and I'm that now. She just threw out the same drunk loser she married 17 years ago. Where is all this wonderful work I wrote a best-selling book about and all that stuff? What did she actually accomplish?
Well, the devil you know. We'll take a break. Joel McHale.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
Joel McHale. Not for any good reason either.
No, you just do.
That's what makes it a truer kind of love. Joel McHale, host of The Soup, in next. He's brought his clips.
TV talk.
I only have a small pee-pee.
A small pee-pee?
I'm a little weird. I feel a little weird.
These men and women give the show a political credibility that must be judged by higher standing, even Then shock jock.
From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Joel McHale, always a pleasure to see you. By the way, just left over from last segment, the yeah. Wiggles.
Yo,
the
Gabba band, Gabba.
The Wiggles, $50 million in 06.
In 06,
how else
million.
Will I know how million. A fruit salad is constructed?
Yeah.
I hope they have a big, they have like a crazy heroin drug-fueled downward spiral.
It'd be
That's
awesome,
what Adam suggested.
Dude, they're writing songs about food already. They're yeah, highest kites.
Great. 50 million.
50 million. Such a cop-out when you create anything to entertain a kid. Such a... Oh, I just put my book on something. Hold on.
Does your book just swear?
What was that called?
Wow.
I don't know. I put Rich Eisen's book down somewhere and it pushed a button.
The people here are very foolish to give you a dump button.
Are they gave me a dump button?
Right. Someone that says dump button.
Oh, no. That's fun.
I'm going to dump myself.
A lot of
myself.
Profanity in Eisen's book.
All right, McHale, yeah. What do you got?
All right. Do you like bobblehead Nancy Grace?
Yes.
Well, I don't even think I need to describe the visual. This is the opening to her show.
A drunk dad races the wrong way down a high-speed highway. His two-year-old baby girl in the back. No car seat, no seat belt, just daddy, baby, and a Bud Light tall boy.
And she proceeds to raise a tall boy into the frame and open it.
Over bobblehead Nancy Grace?
She herself lifts it into the frame and opens it. Yeah, opens the can. So it's dramatic.
But
I'm the wacky DJ type.
She's...
I told Adam at our, we did an appearance at the Playboy Mansion, and I said, Adam wants to be the bright, funny, clever, most interesting show on the radio. And I said, Adam, I think there are a lot of things that...
Adam wants that?
That's what I want.
This Adam.
I said, I think there are a lot of things that are beneath you. There are not things that are beneath me. Unleash the dog. I'll go throw the cream pies. Right. You can deny me. And we'll get some attention. Then you can keep them with your intellect. But let's go get some people. Let's go do something horrible.
Should we have like a throw Danny off the roof day?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You would do like, yes. I'm up. Let's do yes. it. We're doing it.
It's throw Danny Thursdays.
How about you yes. fight the human weapon?
As a matter of fact, he just challenged me to a fight at the elevator.
This is great. I challenged Lisa.
Get a fight in the elevator.
I mean, I challenged someone from K-Earth.
No, I'm fighting again at that thing for Shapiro, and Shapiro doesn't want to fight again, so I don't know who I'm fighting. He goes, I'll do it. I'll fight you. Just like he got all serious all of a sudden.
Well, he is an actual fighter.
Yeah, he's the real deal. He'd hurt me, but...
I don't know. I'd try to find someone older than Shapiro.
Speaking of pretty boys, Joel McHale.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Now, you know, most people know most of the songs from Wizard of Oz, no?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's a clip from The Singing Bee, and you'll recognize the song. It's Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. And this is what the guy comes up with.
As, hit it, Ray.
Sticky.
Sticky. He sings this.
Wake up, Sticky.
Every year on her step monster's birthday. So.
I actually sing it while tap dancing on her grave.
Wow. Nice.
You forget the words and go.
Sticky. Oh, I remember. I don't forget that song.
Since Sticky's not a lyric in any song.
What do you think happened to
him? What are the chances it's going to work on this one?
You know, he froze.
He froze.
I just love those honeybees.
Yeah. Okay. Adam, you own a lot of cars, right?
Sure.
How often, when you get into one of your luxurious Italian cars, does the seatbelt literally break the skin and maybe crush your collarbone or slice in almost to your heart?
Well, it wouldn't happen unless you got into a horrible front-on, head-on collision.
True. But I think you don't even factor in the horrible chafing and what no hair is left on that part of
the
shoulder.
Oh, you're saying if somebody had a product.
A product that could somehow keep the belt slightly away from you, keep it from just, horrible...
Like a pad that goes there.
Yeah. No,
that'd be smart. My Viper, when you hit the brakes, you don't have to hit anything, retracted really hard
right.
and hurt you.
Pulled you into the trunk.
Yeah.
Yes. No, yeah. I had an invention many years ago. I have many inventions that I don't do anything with. Many years ago, 20 years ago, I wanted to market a product that was the seatbelt sash. It would say Miss Kentucky on there, or Miss Congeniality. Oh. And you would get in your car, and whatever your state was, or whatever your team was, or whatever your anything was, but it would be funny that every time you got, I would put, you know, Miss Congeniality right. on mine, and I'd have a laugh driving around my car.
Now, if someone was horribly disfigured during an accident, would they be like, well, we do know it's Miss Kentucky?
That's right.
It's no longer Miss Photogenic.
Yeah, we don't need anybody to come
That's
down
all
and
we know.
Get the jaws
tragedy.
Of life out. Miss Kentucky was driving drunk again. Probably drinking the bourbon.
We won't be needing to.
All right, it's so there's a product.
Which incorporates plush stuffed animals. So let her roll.
Neat.
Does the shoulder strap of your car cut into your shoulder? Is your shoulder strap too tight and annoying? Introducing the Titty Bear, the cute little guy that eliminates all those problems. The Titty Bear snaps onto your shoulder strap and moves up and down to remove the pressure wherever you need it.
Now with the Titty Bear, I really enjoy traveling again.
Sure. It was misery driving around in my Lamborghini
without a big... Well, of course, but it's T-I-D-D-Y.
So you can say titty.
Yes, it's Titty Bear.
Yes.
They bleeped me.
We just got bleeped. It's derived from teat. It's one of these things that drives me insane about our culture.
Give me a break.
Yeah. There's one of these things where you watch these infomercials, and whether it's a stool to get your dog up onto your bed, it's one of the things that does this, you think.
And a bedazzler.
A bedazzler, like, what the hell am I going to do with this thing? But I'll tell you the market for this. One of my favorite inventions, if you look through the Sky Mall catalog when you're flying,
yeah.
You'll see things. Here's the thing. They know you're captive, and they know you're drunk.
Right.
And they know you're impulsive and you have a credit card.
And probably have a job.
And you're
right.
tired of watching the Golf Channel. So they know you're going to make an impulsive move. Like I bought a double-decker cat stroller when I was flying to Oregon, and I don't even own cats. I was drunk. It was an impulse buy. I thought, Ace Man, you may get twin cats one day. You don't know.
You didn't even
$149 later.
You didn't think I'm going to ease back, just get the single cat stroller.
Nope, I went with the double. If they made a triple, I would have bought that. It was a double-decker cat stroller, but...
I bought the water-filled dumbbells that don't weigh anything until you fill them with water, and then they weigh 32 pounds each, so
they
curl.
Yeah, they do those things where it's like, hey, man, you want to play golf in your pool? Where's inflatable putting? Yeah. And it's like, I'm in, man.
This is a great idea.
It's awesome. Yeah. So the one item they have in there is the Life Hammer. I've talked about this baby before. It is a hammer that's specifically made to bust out your windshield if you pull a Chappaquiddick.
Yes. Oh.
If your car turns over and goes into the mire and you got to get out of there, you can bust out of your car. I don't know why you can't. You can't open the door. You can't roll the window down. It's the Life Hammer. As if a hammer would not work on the windshield of your car. Like,
but it says Life on the side of it.
For $10, you go down to Home Depot and you get a hammer, and you can use that on someone's head or your windshield
or whatever. You can use the metal coffin mug that's rolling around. That's
for an extra $5, you can actually get a guy that will ride around with you and break your window for you at Home Depot.
The Life Hammer, it's like $39. Yeah. It's four. And I thought, first off, if you buy this, aren't you guaranteeing overturning into a body of water the next week? Like, haven't you now cursed yourself, number one?
Yep.
Number two, I know exactly how the Life Hammer would work for me. I would buy the Life Hammer. I would say, this baby is going to be nice and close to you, Ace Man. Even though you're driving around the San Fernando Valley, you never know when you're going to hit an aqueduct.
Yeah. Wait, did you get a Life Hammer holster as well?
I got the Life Hammer, and I said it's not gonna leave the passenger seat. But as the car turned over, as I went into the mire, as I reached for the Life Hammer, I would realize that my wife put it in the trunk of the car. And my last thoughts were, as I tried to claw through the back seat to get to the Life Hammer.
Right.
would be, I'm going to kill that bitch. I'd be the last.
With
if
the
I
life
could
hammer.
Get hold of that life hammer.
I'm going to take it.
I would not break out of the car first. I would figure out a way to get to my wife, and then I would get back into the car, and then I would use it to escape.
Or you could do it as a horror film where you did die. In the car, but then you would show up in kind of a mist, and you'd be drenched with seaweed, and you would have the life hammer. You were killing everybody who recommended.
I do like the idea that however you died, that's how you show up in your afterlife.
Yes. Yeah.
If you get hit by lightning, you're wearing golf clothes and smoking for the rest of your life. Like, if you got shot, there's a hole in the side of your head. I don't dig that part about the afterlife.
Right, so you have to be, your corpse has to look, because if you die in autoerotic asphyxiation.
I was about to say that you're walking around with wood and your pants around your ankles and a phone cord around your
and
neck,
all the other dead the people walk. Are like, oh, you did that.
And imagine, it's like, hi, Grampy. Hi, Nana. Finally, we're reunited with Sparky, our dog.
Now, it's like, so disappointing.
Your pants around your ankles, son.
Keep up with us.
Why is there a shower rod hanging above you?
Now, does that mean I have to come back wheezing?
Yes.
I have to talk to people with the emphysema voice?
In an iron lung. All right, we need to take a break. Do we have a tease?
Yes, you could play the sticky tease just for fun, because we've already heard that, but do the second tease.
What up?
Who's that?
Whoopi Goldberg.
That's a female?
She's describing part of her body.
Let me hear that.
What up?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are her eyes dry?
This might be the greatest assemblage I've assembled clips that are, just wait.
She needs to be hit with like an estrogen dart.
Yes.
Like she needs some guy behind a hedge, the estrogen hammer.
Yeah.
That I would buy. Somebody, Whoopi needs to be up there just drinking a cup of coffee going, you know what I think about present? Ah, my neck!
Who wants
to have sex, yeah?
You got to throw her in an aquarium first. That way you're saving her life.
But just to let you know, that is from something I call, and we call them the soup. The Vag Apocalypse.
We will be back with Joel McHale and his Vag Apocalypse next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight at 6 on Hallmark. Don't watch Stone Cold, a murder investigation gets personal, starring Tom Selleck as Police Chief Jesse Stone. At 7:30 on BET, be sure to miss Tears, Shears, and Beauty. 8 hairstylists and barbers compete in an annual hair competition in Atlanta. And at 9 on God TV, definitely don't watch Summer Camp Meeting. Inspirational messages broadcast live from Tampa. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, yes, Joel McHale, one of my favorites, back in studio.
Hey, Adam?
Yes.
I know that Gabba Gabba, Danny challenges a lot of people to fight, and then he might fight this human weapon, guys. I challenge him to a 10K.
A 10K?
Oh, this is awesome. Danny?
How fast do you run a 10K?
I don't know. How many miles is that?
5-something,
like
right?
7.6
and change,
six
I think.
Change.
Okay, I'll do that in 45 minutes.
Oh. I'll do that by Wednesday.
All right.
Joel McHale was running from his barbecue the other night.
I've never seen anything like it.
Joel McHale, I thought he had his eyebrows waxed.
Nope.
It turns out they were burnt
off.
Have
you seen his hair on his head? It looks like you set your Barbie on fire.
Yeah, right here. I lost all the front hair.
What happened?
Did you see your hair?
Okay. It was Halloween, and I was running around handing candy out and getting the barbecue going, and it was pitch black, and I got it going, and somehow, and I really don't know, the barbecue went out.
Mm-hmm.
I lifted up the hood, and I go, it smells like gas. And I waved my hand and thought, this is enough time. Lit one match, boom, and then kaboom.
So it just turned to fumes and ignited right in front of you.
It ignited my hair, my eyebrows, my eyelashes.
Your eyelashes are gone.
They're gone, and and so I walked back in and I said, my wife, I was like, I got a new costume. It's called albino. Hairless albino is Skeletor now. Yeah. And I was not, I was like, what is wrong with you? There's those moments in my life where I go, you are the dumbest person alive. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
You just created a bomb and blew yourself up.
Joel's still one of the best looking.
Yeah.
Even with the burnt hair.
And I couldn't, hairless.
I couldn't put my finger on
deep cable
when
host.
I saw him. I was like, good. What did Joel do? Yeah. Something. Lost weight or plucked his eyebrows?
You know, it's nice, though. I now know what happens to those chicks that cut their hair to give to people with no hair to
yeah,
human
it's
weight.
It's a gift of the Magi.
You look beautiful. You look beautiful.
Thank you.
Although yes. The ponytails really are a little weird.
And I burned my the skin between my eyes yeah. and my eyebrows.
Yeah, it looks like you've got
so I was putting aloe on them, and my wife was like, hey, genius. You, oh, wait, no, I'll turn the oven off. So that
must have been fun for the kids, though, for the rest of Halloween to have smoking aloe head.
Was your little boy scared?
Surprised. No, he is asleep by then.
Oh, and what was he for Halloween?
He was a firefighter.
Oh.
But he, then, as soon as the next morning, he goes, Mommy, I want to put up the Christmas tree.
Wow.
Oh,
and
really?
Then she said, no, we're not going to do that until after Thanksgiving. And then he goes, okay, we'll have Thanksgiving after my nap.
That's good. Dante, my six-year-old, genius. Was the Grim Reaper, and Isabella was a kitty cat. And, but they have some, we go to a special neighborhood, my own neighborhood, only a few blocks away, but people are really into it. And some guys, I think, get off on scaring kids.
This is so wholesome. Let's talk about Whoopi's dried up vajayjay.
All right.
No, first. That's what I meant. That's how somebody dressed.
That's what my wife went as. Dried Whoopi. All right. Who watches The Bachelor? Anyone?
I'm gonna try. I'm gonna start.
Well, you think what kind of a woman would say I'm gonna go on a game show and try to meet my husband in 30 days in competition with about 40 other women or whatever, right?
Right.
Well, towards the end of the show, once he narrows it down to two or three, they go visit the parents, and I think we know where the crazy comes from.
I mean, the stars line up, and when you go on the jacuzzi. The Big Dipper is in the sky.
Right.
And you can last through it when you're up there. And one day I was sitting out there, it hit me like a rock. I knew she was the one. I know she's the one. Whether she's your one.
Right.
Or somebody else's one, I know she's the one. When I saw your eyes, the first thing I saw were the eyes together. And I couldn't take my eyes off your eyes.
It's the mom.
The mom's trying to bone him.
I got news for all the crazy people out there. When you hear too many slow rights followed by a handful of okays, that means we think you're nuts.
Right.
Like when you're, hey, wait a minute.
Okay. No, okay, cool.
When you're explaining right. how the Jews took down the World Trade Center,
right?
Okay. Uh-huh. Or you got a friend who works at Roswell, right. and you get that drawn out right.
Yeah.
See, uh-huh. it's not the affirmative right. It's not the right, no. gotcha. It's the right.
I'm agreeing with you because right. you may kill me
I'm
later.
I'm planning my escape through drawing okay. out a syllable.
Right.
right. Okay. Right. All right. And then they'll throw in this one every once in a while. I hear you. that yeah. means I'm yeah. not. I'm tuned out.
Yeah.
That's right up there with I'd like to help.
And you're hoping.
I hear you means I'm not listening, and I'd like to help means you'll get nothing from me.
And if you're not at a party where you can bail on the person.
yes.
Horrible.
Crazy mama.
Crazy mom. All
but
right.
I agree with Danny. Maybe crazy mama was hitting on Bachelor Man.
That's what I heard.
I think all options were on the table for her.
But by the way, for what you said in the beginning, who would go on a show to meet their possible husband in how long?
30 days.
I met my wife and married her in 7 hours, and it lasted almost 20 years.
All right. So by Danny's math, if they take 30 days, they're going to be married for over 3,000 years.
Yeah, that's true.
And Danny, you guys, you're totally normal. And your relationship with your wife, that was televised for a year, totally normal.
And how long have you been married?
I'll be married 12 years in July.
And how long did you date her first?
2.5 years.
All right, so you call me back in 5 years, tell me how it's going. No, wait, 4 years.
All right.
Because I got that time, I didn't know her.
You know, as you get older, you realize, like when you're a kid, you just assumed that adults were wise, or you assumed that your friends' yes. parents had it together or were wise. And as you get older and you watch these reality shows, you realize just because someone is chronologically in their 50s or late 40s does not mean emotionally they're anywhere.
No.
It is weird
how
when
would I know that?
You
Some
see people that are like 53 years old and you go, oh, this chick's an idiot. It's weird when you can take your stupidity and drag it with you into your later years. You're past menopause and still a ditzy 19-year-old at heart.
Right. I know people who are in their, late 40s that probably have not grown emotionally since they were 12. And it just that just happens to some people.
What are you trying to say, peeps?
Manopause.
And then you go, how they got all they got through their entire life by being this way. How did they not get hit by a train?
I did get hit by a train.
All right. Where were we?
All right. Speaking of crazy moms and their daughters, the Kardashians had a show on E.
Yeah, I don't care. They'd rather have sex without them.
And so Kim was on the fence, everyone, about appearing in Playboy.
She'd be on anything, wouldn't she? Corolla.
Yes, and I, as she said, because of her sex tape, she was a little bit hesitant. I thought it was because of her enormous. Anyway, so here is Hef convincing her.
I started the magazine with the December 1953 issue.
Oh, wow.
And I happen to have Marilyn Monroe on the cover and
I didn't know that
inside as the first Playmate of the Month.
She loves his music.
Wow. Knowing that Marilyn Monroe has done it, I feel a little bit more comfortable with it.
Right, and Marilyn Monroe OD'd.
I like the idea that she puts now in front of. Now that Marilyn Monroe.
Right, everyone else is
Let's see, what
that?
Day? What day is it? Let's see, it's Wednesday, Tuesday, 57 years ago.
Yes. And you know, nobody
Half, could I call Marilyn? I would love to just chat with her.
You know what nobody else got from that either? Is Marilyn did not do Playboy. She did a calendar, and he got the rights.
Right.
She never posed for Playboy.
Well, I'm sure she checked the facts. I mean, she's Kim Kardashian.
That's right.
Yeah, don't tell her that the next time she passes on the show.
Good idea.
All right.
I don't care. She wants to have sex with Corolla more than me.
If I were Bruce Jenner, I would undergo one more elective surgery, and that would be the one to kill myself. I would just go into my plastic surgeon,
Why?
And I go... Because I was the world's greatest athlete in 1972 or 1976.
And now
or whatever.
It looks like a hot Asian
now
chick.
Now
become
he's
a
the
hot
scarecrow.
Asian grandmother, and I've adopted a family of gypsy prostitutes, and I would like to go out. Give me that Wheaties box. I'm going to stare at it. It'll be the last thing I see.
When you go when you open my face up, just go all the way back and separate the brain from the stem.
Do you know what? Two more surgeries, you look like
that.
Your sister.
Yeah. Oh. You know, the other thing I love about life is I was watching...
I don't know anything you
Bruce
love about
Jenner
life besides cars.
Waddle around in his Dockers in episode number 2. I was checking out Bruce, skinnier calves than most any guy I know. And I thought, wow, the world's greatest athlete, the man who has run the decathlete, the man who has done more running than any of us ever combined, has... calves that are much skinnier than most of the guys I know, and I thought, see, genetics.
Yeah.
Bitch, aren't they?
Well, he did have those suctioned.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I
he had my as much fat as you could remove from his calves.
I just think, I just look at Bruce sitting there with his lap dog and those cackling prostitute gypsies running around, and he's just sitting there going, God, please take me. Please take me. All right, give us our next one, Joel.
All right, we got two more left. This is Valerie Bertinelli on E.T. with a commentary on Britney Spears.
If you're going to have children that young, stay home and take care of them.
Valerie Bertinelli's tough love message to troubled Britney Spears.
Put your underwear on, stay home, and take care of your children.
A mother-to-mother moment you will only see here.
How many times do you need to go to the gas station and Starbucks every day?
How many times 14. Do you need to go to Baskin-Robbins? I don't know, Valerie.
Well, she lost 8 pounds. She's a
yes.
hero.
She's all right. Now, can we get the vagipocalypse?
Yes.
Yes. What up?
Because of the word vajayjay, which has now part of the lexicon.
Worst, by the way, scented candle I've ever bought.
Did
you get that
violent?
At Pottery Barn, too?
On the vagipocalypse.
Oh.
I said I was going to go with the Knotty Pine, and then there was Country Morning, but it was an impulse buy. I went through the vagipocalypse, and I'm still paying the price.
Why would you keep burning it?
I kindle that candle.
You got to go to the new satellite store, which is Bed Bath and Way Beyond. It's a really good store. They go for the extra mile.
Oh, vag apocalypse.
All right. Because of...
I don't want to tell you what shape it was in. I will not. I will not tell you the shape
of it.
I thought it was an ashtray.
It was not.
How many wicks?
It was, three days out of the month. It's crowds a wick. Jeez. Oh, please, T, you made me do that.
Sorry.
You made me do that.
I know.
Oh,
His name on the door,
baby.
You
didn't want to.
There was an article in the New York Times this week about the use of the word vajayjay, which I was quoted in. So I've arrived.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Now, it's huge. It's big. It's big. I know it's big. Thank you.
You're the expert. Did Oprah coin the term?
Oprah coined, got it from Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
Oh,
okay,
that's
so it
right.
stems from Grey's.
Yes.
Thank you.
It doesn't stem from Grey's. That's gross. If I ever see a vajayjay that's gray, I'm leaving. That's all there is to it. That wasn't supposed to be a joke, dude.
No
kidding. They're like a horse of many colors. They get weird.
All right. So, but then on The View, they began to discuss this article. We took the 2-hour special, which it seemed to be, and took many a quote. And we
you're talking about The View.
It wasn't
talking
a two,
about The View.
It wasn't a 2-hour special. It was The Echo.
Yeah.
The View has taken a slide. I never thought I'd say this, but I miss Rosie.
I do too.
And I never thought I'd say this, but Joy Behar is the funniest person on the planet.
I miss
after
watching I miss Hasselbeck.
What?
Yes, I do.
Well, no.
She, at least
it's
she will bring up a Whoopi. All right, play the vajayjay, and then I'll play your Whoopi
Here's
clip.
Here's the Vag Apocalypse. Do it.
Is there an issue with the word
vagina? Vagina, yeah. I can say it.
Is there an issue with the word vagina?
They don't say vagina. They say vajayjay.
Don't look at my vajayjay. But I like the word pudenda. Call it pudenda.
I mean, you could say my Virginia.
Can I see your Virginia?
Right up.
Lie down. I want to take a look at your vajayjay.
The fool pudenda.
Vagina and penis once.
To the bald pudenda.
But when we've said penis on the air, she said it. Barbara said that word.
Penis.
The show is horrible because they went with Whoopi Goldberg. They went with a name and they went with a woman of color, and she is horrible. They should have got Kathy Griffin on there. I was playing a couple of clips because I was watching it last weekend. I'll play. This is Whoopi. Whoopi's not funny on the show, but this is Whoopi setting up a story. Just that little 3x5 card to toss it to the next topic. This is her talking about some gambling trouble with a slot machine. Here's her setup.
This man was playing slots in New Mexico.
And an Indian reservation, a Native American reservation.
And
go girl.
Yes. And the machine said he hit 1.6 million.
But what was the...
The casino says it was a glitch in the computer. But here's this. When you y'all gamble, right? You've been a consumer, so you know that the machine will say maximum payout, and then if it's the jackpot, it'll say $5 million or what? Well, the maximum jackpot payout on this particular machine that he hit was $2,500. That's what it said.
Yeah.
And it says, that little thing where it says computer error, computer error is
in malfunctions,
malfunctions void, and voids, everything. Well, the computer, the machine never say anything on its face about $1.5 million. There was no $1.5 million, but the machine said to me, I'm suing.
All right. Imagine, like I said, just some 53-year-old dude with red hair sitting there doing the job she does. He'd be fired on Tuesday.
Yeah.
They'd never hire him in the first place. She's almost incompetent.
That was crazy.
And not funny, and doesn't...
Can't even describe what... Oh.
It's a bad sign when the segment producer's telling you to wrap it up before you finish the setup.
She's still setting up the topic.
Oh, and I just cut it short, too.
Like,
it's really a 10 minutes.
We're going to have this guy whose jackpot said $1.6 million, but he's in an argument with the casino because the payout's only $2,500. He'll
done.
Be on next.
Yeah.
Could have done it.
When is Trump going to take on Whoopi?
It would be nice. I don't know that Whoopi...
It'd be inconsequential.
As soon as they get through me!
I think Whoopi is going to be exposed in this seat. I think in the past, it's not funny. I knew she wasn't funny before this.
Did you ever think she was funny?
I thought she was talented.
Yes, so did I.
But not funny.
That
and
one
I think,
man show.
I think there's a difference.
She's a great actor.
Remember the one man show she did maybe 20 years ago that launched her?
Yeah.
She's brilliant.
She does a lot of horrible movies, but she is a talented person. But she's not Kathy Griffin and she's not Rosie O'Donnell. And America's going to find out.
You didn't
and
like Jumpin' Jack Flash?
I'll be. I liked Burglar a lot.
Burglar was her Hamlet.
I would be very curious to find out what the ratings are going to be for The View. On line one, by the way, Joe is calling in. Joe?
Yes, sir.
You have a comment?
Yeah, I was just calling about the similarity of Mikhail and Graham Wellington. And
Bald Brian?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Oh.
You do sound like Graham Wellington.
I'm going to go on that game show and try to meet my husband in 30 days.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
I'll say, yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Wow. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Well,
wow. Hold on. Awesome, dude.
We'll put it in a round.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar.
No,
my name is Tyrone Washington.
And my name is Tyrone Washington. I want you to name
Yeah, scared on that one.
My name is Juan Hernandez.
My name is Juan Hernandez. Why am I doing this?
Oh, because it's a very important message from the retarded ad council that tells you...
My name is Graham Wellington.
If you've ever been turned down for anything, it may be because they thought you were from a different place.
The prototype of the prototype of right. the white guy is a guy named Graham Wellington.
Oh, and listen, you sound just like him. I grew up as a white male in the San Fernando Valley. Doors just swinging open for me.
Yeah.
What you people don't realize, when us white guys go to rent an apartment, I just say my first name. They say, when do you want to start? You're in. And I go, what about a security deposit? And they go, waved for the white guy. And I go, don't you want to check my TRW? And they go, no problemo. And then we do our whitey handshake. And they say, the first 6 months are free and enjoy fruit platter. That's the way I grew up. As a white guy in the Valley, everything I wanted to do.
Same thing for me. You know, they talk about racial profiling. Totally true. They'd pull me over, see I was white, and just let me go. Never went to jail.
Oh, I thought they'd be like, I just pulled over a leprechaun.
I feel so lucky.
I'm going to take a couple photos.
One
make $1 million.
Some pot, but not of gold.
Yeah. One's like, should we pull him over?
No. Let's get to the pot of gold.
Then we make the bust.
But he's going to trick us. I swear to you.
The gold's unmarked.
We can't
it's not traceable. Do you understand? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Joel, don't ever take 7 weeks.
Look, it's been
off again.
I had a lot of. Okay, I was doing a guest star on a TV show.
Pushing Daisies.
Thank you. And my dad fell off a ladder.
Show T the picture.
I'll have to show you this X-ray. My dad really hurt himself.
He really hurt himself.
Is he okay?
He's going to be okay. It was a little touch and go for a while. He shattered his pelvis.
Oh, no.
How many times have I told you people... dudes fall off ladders when they get older, and it's like the number three killer white guys in their 60s who live in decent neighborhoods. Like, it's not the kind of thing where it's secondhand smoke or gangbangers or anything like that. There's a thing when you're older, your equilibrium sucks. You get up on a ladder to David
and you
Koechner
believe that you're
was
45.
In here. The actor Koechner was in here and said he fell off a ladder the other day. You just think you can do things you can't.
No. Let's start a PSA for that. Something that actually hurts people.
All right.
And my dad was pruning a 300-foot sequoia tree.
Get Graham Wellington on the blower. We got to cut one.
This is Graham Wellington.
Ladders
don't
matter.
Fall off ladders.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with the news. T, what's in it?
We're going to hear from the Don't Tase Me Bro guy. And also VD dolls for sale.
When's the Don't Tase Me Bros book coming out?
Next month.
Joel McHale, The Soup on E, Friday night. Tonight, 10 o'clock. We'll
Thanks
be
for
back.
The promotion.
And now, The Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
A case of abuse, but this one involves a pot-bellied pig.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
How about the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Don Imus will return to the airwaves on December 3rd on WABC in New York City. That is a mere 9 months since he made the comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. CBS lost a bunch of money, and they should have. He sued their ass. They got paid. F them. They're idiots. They should have never been taken off the air.
I agree with you on that.
He's a radio host. He's supposed to say things that titillate and shock and get people talking, and he did his job.
No, he didn't. He didn't titillate or shock anybody. Just somebody got up in his grill and won. He didn't do anything. What a nothing thing to say, really.
I didn't say he didn't titillate anybody. I'm saying he got people talking about what it is he spoke about.
But, I mean, for the wild edge of Don Imus, that just makes me laugh.
Yes, I agree.
Probably not that wheeze kind of laugh, you know.
What's that, T? What were we saying?
He reportedly signed a 5-year deal worth between $5 and $8 million.
Good times.
A 5-year deal?
That's a cut for him.
Five-year deal.
That's not good money.
That's not good money for him. He made a lot more than that. But I think he got like $20 million off of CBS or something like that.
I'm sure he'll be very comfortable into his twilight. Adam, isn't he already in his twilight years?
Adam, don't hit me. Don't hit me, Adam. Don't hit me. Oh, you bastard. Big professional boxer, 6 feet tall, $20 million right now.
Well, you may wonder how the Rutgers women's basketball coach Vivian Stringer feels about Don Imus' return to the airwaves. She's actually okay with it, and she says that society should be proud of itself.
She should be elated because everyone thinks that they won.
Right.
Who did win?
Tennessee.
That's right. Lady Vols.
The Lady Vols won. Ask anybody who won the NCAA women's basketball, whatever, and they'll tell you Rutgers. And that's been
me.
Who won?
Six of Vols.
Yes.
Right?
And that was basketballs. And that was 9 months ago. Give it 5 years. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, Vivian Stringer says she's happy that this caused a debate about racism.
I'm just so happy that we've begun to talk about it, and that we're talking about it even now tells me that it wasn't a fleeting moment. I think that society in general should be very proud of itself, even if it caused us to think for a minute and say, you know, that wasn't right.
Does anybody around here know the hair salon? It's right around here, and it says nappy-headed roots or nappy roots.
I think it's my salon. Nappy hair or something. I love my nappy hair. Roots.
And they changed the name to what he said.
I get my pubes done.
It's an African-American-owned store, hair salon, and they changed it to Imus's quote. How mad
they did?
They be? Yeah.
It's also
after
a talent
his quote?
Yeah.
Huh.
How angry are people?
I think between the FCC fining everyone and everyone freaking out and all this racial talk and everyone, you know, being thrown off the air and fined and everything, we're just taking a huge step backwards. Yeah. Look, we're supposed to do this when it comes to catching terrorists, remember? You know what I mean? Like, all right, look, give up a few rights so we don't get blown up on an airplane. Go wait in line and have your sweater taken off and take your boots off and have some chick probe you with a metal detector. Why? Well, we don't want any more planes flying into any more towers. I understand that. But this, what the F with the FCC? You know what I mean? I mean, what is this? What, you know, you understand as a society, you have to give up certain things in order to have a safe society. You give a little, you get like, okay, who the hell wants to pay taxes? Well, fine. It keeps the streetlights on and we have soldiers protecting our borders or whatever it is. Fine. You don't want to wait in line at the airport? Fine. We'll catch a terrorist. Fine. But this, all this FCC BS, what is this?
Yeah, it's really
weird.
Where
are we going with this? Who benefits? Who's benefiting from all this?
And I hate to be proof to your pudding right here, but I've been through every security in the airport and never done anything wrong my whole life, but I have been to jail 3 times. They're not looking in the right places.
Right.
You know what I mean? They let me right through, but I've been a bad guy.
Well, you're not going to blow anything up.
Hell
they
no,
didn't allow
I'm not.
Andrew Meyer to bother John Kerry too much when he was asking him questions at the University of Florida. You may remember he was bugging him. The police tased him.
Don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me. No. Ow! Ow!
Always funny.
He explains now why he went to talk to John Kerry.
I went there with serious political questions that you saw me asking. My only agenda was to raise the important issues that the media doesn't talk about, the disenfranchisement of voters. And when I talk about disenfranchisement, I'm talking about American voters not being allowed to vote and not having their votes count.
Let's just play the Don't Tase Me, Bro
sure.
thing again.
Yeah.
Don't tase me, bro! Don't tase me, bro! Don't
I don't like to tase that jackass. Yeah, everyone close your eyes. Think about all the people you know that weren't allowed to vote. You went out to cast your vote, but you were tackled on your lawn by white guys in three-piece suits.
Mm-hmm.
Little American flag lapels. Yeah. I know. We love to do that. Hey, don't be naive. A lot
yes,
of people
hello.
In this country.
My name is Graham Wellington.
Who?
Graham Wellington gets to
Who's
vote.
Who's not allowed to vote and who cares?
Graham Wellington gets to cast an extra vote.
Yeah. He gets 5 votes because he looks like Kelsey Grammer.
Let's talk about VD dolls. Might be a good idea for your holiday shopping.
Mm.
Here is the story about a company called...
Worst Vegas review I've ever seen. Bar none. The worst.
Although Syphilis was a great dancer in leggings.
Stay away.
Hello, my honey.
Stay away from the pit. Do not go up front. It's the one show you pay extra to stay in the back of the theater.
Not like Gallagher.
VD Dolls, bad times.
The VD Dolls, not the review in Vegas, but the actual dolls are sold by a company called Giant Microbes. Their business, selling sweet plush stuffed animals of different diseases. They've got everything from the flu to salmonella to E. coli to Ebola to the plague, the chicken pox, and of course, syphilis. And herpes. The dolls actually look like the disease's microbes. Like if you looked at a syphilis under a high-powered microscope, you'd see it looks pink and curly. That's exactly the plush doll.
I got busted because I went over to a friend's house and had some kids, and I walked in. I was like, hey, it's herpes. And they said, how'd you know it hurt? And I was like, oh, or anything else? Maybe it's a starfish. I ran out of the house.
I'm telling you right now, when I get home, there's going to be every one of those pillows lining the couch and a microscope.
The dolls are 5 to 7 inches tall. They cost $7.95. And if you'd like, you can get the set of chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, and herpes for $29.95.
Move over, Elmo.
It costs me a little more than that.
I'm bringing them home.
Well, the line is actually designed
now
more
my
for...
Now, my kids, I got it. I'm not kidding when I say my kids are addicted to Elmo to the point where they just walk around going, Elmo, Elmo. Sonny just goes, Elmo. Elmo, and then I pick him up and I start walking to the next room. He starts crying. He starts yelling for Elmo. I have to pick up the Elmo doll and give it to him. He climbs over me to get to the Elmo thing. Wow. He stares anything that's red, he points at and says, Elmo. They're addicted, yes. You may start that with an
start
H.
Yelling, Elmo to me right away. And they take me. Yeah, it's cute.
They're infected with Elmo. I have to get them off it.
Well, maybe you can get them one of these dolls. They also have hepatitis, TB, and polio.
Oh, I'll give them polio.
Oh, no, you got to get tickle me chlamydia.
Tickle me syphilis is designed more for doctors to use as a teaching tool, not for kids. Yeah. But either way.
All right.
You can use them. I think we have to go to break, but I have more news later.
Oh, you got a tease?
You rock.
Why beer is good for you after working out?
I just took the pill.
Really?
Yeah.
Good times. We'll do that with the rest of the news next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Martinsburg, West Virginia. A 39-year-old man was arrested for drunken driving and trying to outrun police on a lawnmower. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. T.
Yep.
The news, baby girl.
Have you ever gone for a run or had a workout and you just thought a cold beer, nothing could sound better to me?
Yeah.
Well, maybe your body knows best. A university professor out of Spain has found that after a workout, instead of drinking water or even Gatorade, the best thing for you might be beer.
Why is that, T?
Here's the thought process. One, beer helps someone who's dehydrated retain liquid better than water. Two, carbonation helps quench thirst. Three, carbs in beer help replace your lost calories. And four, his studies have shown that people who drink beer after they work out are more hydrated than people who drink water.
Amy is glued to the radio right now.
She likes a brewski after the workout?
For anybody, she drinks beers, man. She throws them back.
Plus, I've done the math. Because the hottest chicks on TV are the chicks from the light beer commercials. Like, hey, it's Michelob One. And they show that chick wearing the cycling shorts and the sports bra. And she's running around. I just get jealous of those people. Who are these people? Mountain biking all day and enjoying a barbecue every night with friends. Not sure if they're effing any of them or not.
Right.
There's just one of every nationality, but they all kind of look the same. And they're all winners and young. I hate that. But the hottest chicks, always from the light beer commercial. So maybe there's something here.
I'm telling you, the first night I had dinner with Amy and her mother, who is red hot. Amy's born so hot. But they're both drinking light beer out of the bottle, which I think looks really sexy. They're sitting there at a pretty decent restaurant drinking beer out of a bottle, but I know they're never going to get wasted enough off of light beer for me to close this deal.
With both of them?
Yeah. But if they'd even using light beers as chasers, that could have been an amazing evening.
That would have been hot.
I'm torn because I do find beer refreshing, but for my calories, I want the whiskey. Better buzz.
And you could be on the Atkins diet.
Mm-hmm. I'll do a shot of Jaeger while I'm working out.
There you go.
I smoke while I work out.
Why not?
It keeps you hydrated. You enjoy the workout more.
Yeah. Motivate you. I'll take Jaeger and hang it on a stick in front of me. I'll put it on a string and I'll run after it on my treadmill.
It's supposed to be a carrot.
I have a treadmill. Kids.
And by the way, carrot? When's the last time you ran for a carrot? Carrot,
yeah.
Carrot's like, hey, man, if you have a gallon of ranch dressing, we can talk about it. That's what you need to do. Take a carrot on a stick and then put a bucket of ranch and maybe I'll break into a jog, but you hang some Jaeger. And it's a full-blown sprint.
I think the saying, the carrot or the stick, comes from donkeys.
Huh?
If you
call a donkey, bitch?
If you actually hang a vajayjay,
yeah,
they come and arrest you because they want to know where the rest of the girl is.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. So that doesn't work.
That one won't work out for you.
Well, a few movies opening this weekend. Don't know if you've heard, but Jerry Seinfeld has a movie.
Really?
That should be interesting.
B-movie.
We've all
been stung with all the marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Animated film.
Let's keep going.
With the voices of Jerry Seinfeld, Renee Zellweger, Matthew Broderick, Chris Rock, and John Goodman. Seinfeld plays a bee who abandons the hive and ventures into the human world.
Why doesn't everyone... it's going to make $50 million. Everyone ought just go down, give their $10 to the closest movie theater and just go home. Because all these movies, these animated movies, especially the Pixar ones, I don't know if this is a Pixar one, but these things, they just clean up. They just kill at the box office. They hit them real hard. They're everywhere you look. They do all this sort of cross sponsorship. They're, Subway and Pepsi and Massengale. They get a couple names that are in it. Must be nice for Chris Rock to be funny in a movie for a change. And then they make tons and tons of dough.
I will tell you, out of all the Pixar movies I've seen, some of them have been some of my favorites. Toy Story and Toy Story 2.
Yeah.
Were wonderful movies.
They're great. Nemo. And then the whole campaign goes with the little figurines given out by Burger King, and it just $1 billion later, everyone's that much richer.
Have you guys heard about American Gangster? Is that supposed to be any good?
Yes.
With Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe?
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be very good.
Okay. Well, Denzel plays a drug kingpin in the 70s. Russell Crowe, a cop, determined to do what it takes to bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
Cuba Gooding Jr. also stars.
I'd like to see Cuba do a good movie.
I miss him from those underpants commercials he does.
I think they're cute, but
super homoerotic ones where he has to sniff Michael Jordan. That's got to be a nice. That's going to be a nice conversation with Cuba to have with his agent. Hey, baby dog, got you on the phone right now. Great. All right, Academy Awards right there in the room. Fantastic. Hey, the Haynes people called. Yeah. Yeah, they got a spot with you and Michael Jordan. Awesome. He's my hero. What am I doing? Hanging out and smelling his underpants. No big deal. It's cool. Yeah, it's a scene. Jordan's doing a commercial. You come running in like some crazed fan. Am I Cuba Gooding Jr.? No, you're just a crazed black guy. Storm the set. You break into his dressing room and sniff his underpants. It's awesome stuff. It's going to do wonders for your career. It's going to be great.
You can actually wear your Oscar in the underwear that you'll be wearing, so people really think highly of you.
Tucker's people passed on it. Chris Tucker is he's doing Karate Chop 5 with Benny Hinn over in Nankung. So he's on the Mekong Delta right now, karate chopping some extras talking Chan. Black. Yeah, Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan on the Mekong Delta right now, so he passed on. So they said, well, we need another crazed black guy who could smell Jordan's underpants. I don't know. I'll ask. Marty, is Jordan wearing the underpants? Okay, Marty's going to make a phone call. He's not sure. I assume. Well, I don't know. Actually, let me check the breakdown here. Looking for black guy can smell underpants. No, you go into the room. Cuba, you're going to break into the dressing room and then just go ahead. Hold on. Marty, sweetie, can you give me Perrier? What? Have I ever asked for the lemon one before? Well, then what's the answer? Sorry, baby doll. You break into the dressing room. You go ahead and I don't know if there's a hamper. The underpants are just spread out there. And you just go ahead and give them a sniff. And then you run back in where Jordan's shooting. Hold on a second. I don't know. Let me check on that one. Marty, are the underpants out of the package?
You know, no, I'm not asking.
Not that package.
Is he getting them out of the hamper? Jesus Christ, Marty, would you read the breakdowns? Sweetie, where's the Perrier over here? I'm drying up like Whoopi's for JJ. We didn't go over the lemon thing. Yeah, it's unclear whether they're spent or soiled or open. It shouldn't make a difference. We know they're not on Jordan. No, Jordan won't be there. No, he can't sign any basketballs. You'll be working with a cardboard cutout of him, and then they'll be doing a satellite hologram.
Yeah.
He's not actually there.
They said he wouldn't actually hang out with the guy that would sniff underwear.
Yeah, so he says he's lost. He's gambling on the Cayman Islands. But anyway, the point is, look, there's no mystery. You're Cuba. You're breaking into Jordan's hamper. You're sniffing his underpants. But I want you to have fun with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, it's national. Uh-oh. Let's see, who's on the phone? Oh, good. Wesley Snipes is on the phone. Look, I gotta check this call. You know what? Forget we had this conversation. Let me get Snipes on the phone. He's calling from the airport. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's in flight.
Oh, God, no. All right, let me just go ahead and bet on black here for a second.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California.
Oh, Jesus, Snipes is in the joint. Cuba, you're back in. You're back in. All right, Cuba. So, grab some underpants, practice sniffing them in front of the mirror for a while, find your implicit cue, and we'll talk. All right, baby doll, let's do lunch. Thank you.
Can I help out our friend Wesley?
Mm-hmm.
1-800-BAIL-911. They're the fastest.
I'll pass that along to my other client. I only handle black actors.
They're the quickest.
And you don't handle John and Joan Cusack, who are co-starring in Martian Child, also starring Amanda Peet. John Cusack plays a widowed science fiction writer who adopts a young boy that likes to pretend to be from Mars. Mm. But when strange things start happening, they wonder if the child really is a Martian. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
If you were throwing some sort of party for me.
Yeah.
And it was important for me not to go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
Somehow, with some sort of surprise, you would concoct that movie.
It's not even a real movie.
You would go, how are we going to get Adam to stay home this weekend? And you'd go, I got it. It's called Martian Child.
Right.
It stars the Cusack family, the Cusack clan.
Both of them.
And Amanda Peet.
And
it's about a special needs child. I'd be like, I am not leaving. I am going to watch Armageddon for the 156th time.
I'm not
going anywhere.
You want to make sure that Adam doesn't go to a party? Invite him.
Yes. Yeah. That's how you know I won't show up.
He's not showing. And now that he's antisocial, he's a nice guy.
Low self-esteem. He
just doesn't do it.
We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up next. Ooh, finally, some BTO. Well, that's it. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Joey Chestnut, hot dog eating champion Rich Eisen. The book, Total Access, A Journey to the Center of the NFL Universe. Jason Chambers, The Human Weapon. Tonight, 10 p.m. on the History Channel, Joel McHale.
I'm going to go on a game show and try to meet my husband in 30 days.
Joel McHale, The Soup. Tonight, 10 o'clock, Teresa Strasser, TMZ. And, yes, check out the December issue of Playboy. I think it's out on newsstands now. Got a nice big fat article on our own Jimmy Kimmel. And Bald Brian is going to host the Film Vault on Free 2 HD. FM. It is, you can also go to myspace.com/filmvault to find out more about Bald Brian. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
You are the dumbest person alive. What is wrong with you?